Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 179.
Hi.
My name is Christopher Keough. I am here with Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And taking the place of Travis Baum today is Travis Baum.
It's been a long time.
Look well, out, people.
Dude, someone's trying to hijack your podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't recognize his voice.
I can hang up on him. Hold on.
Oh, I missed you guys too.
Okay. Welcome back, buddy.
Travis, what's up, man?
We missed you.
No, just the laptop. In case anyone has not realized it, I have been away for the past about month since the live show.
We told everyone you were like helping children in like third world countries.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It so was if you a, come up with some like weak ass shit, like your laptop was broken, people need to be depressed.
No. And I know, in fact, you are a liar because it's always, hey, Travis is stupid. He's gay. He's not here because he's dumb.
Because he sucks.
He sucks. He sucks again, so he's not here this week. So, yeah, laptop was broken.
So you listened.
So, yeah, I did listen for the most part. Jason, you know, worked his magic, got it fixed up and everything finally. I thought I could do it on my own, but apparently I am worthless when it comes to fixing, like, cars and computers and anything like that. I can fix a bowl of cereal pretty much. I can't do anything else. But other than that, man,
and he can ask
good.
You if you want to pre-order something.
Yeah, there you go. I did get my own store.
Nice.
That was fast.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Congrats.
That's pretty
so,
cool, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good, and it's fun. I enjoy it. So, but other than that, man, it's just been trying to catch up. This is kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous. I don't know why, but I don't know.
Have you forgotten how to podcast?
Well,
has it been
put
that
on
long?
Your big boy pants and let's do this.
Let's do it. Yeah. But no, it's I'm happy. I feel right. It's where I need to be. With my boys, with my homeboys.
Things are right.
Jeff, what's up, buddy?
Not too much, man. Not too much going down.
Right.
At all, really. For real.
And that's it.
Chris? Yeah, pretty much, man. I don't know. I'm sure I did something over the weekend this week, but I mean, nothing worth really, you know.
Well, we need more filler before we get to Chris. What are we drinking then? I don't know.
Right now, I'm actually
drinking
wine
anything.
Tonight. I'm drinking a nice Niagara BQA wine. It's good shit.
Cool. Reason yeah, me too. I'm drinking wine, red wine.
Good stuff.
I have nada.
Nothing.
I'll grab some water on the break, probably. And that's
cool.
It.
I do actually, you know what? Now would be a good time to actually, no, it wouldn't because I don't have the information in front of me. So anyway, Chris, what's up with you, buddy?
This is a great podcast time.
I've got to pull this shit up. Sorry. I'll get to it.
Not a lot. Not a lot. I did hack my phone. I did
okay,
some research.
Anonymous jerk.
That's why I couldn't make a phone call today.
Yeah, I hacked my phone, and in turn, none of you motherfuckers can make a phone call. Now,
That's the way it works.
I rooted
now.
My phone and installed some custom firmware because I found out that. Here's kind of the backstory of it. It's like it was running Android 2.1, and 2.2 came out, and 2.2 is supposed to be a lot better, much faster, blah, blah, blah. It comes out, and it was littered with, like, minor issues, you know? Things like, you know, a checkerboard-type mapping thing popping up when you try and zoom in and out of websites and shit like that. So all this weird stuff was going on. So you're like, oh, well, we'll release a new update that has all these problems fixed. So they release this new update. None of the problems are fixed, and it's slower. It's like, how did you do that? It's like they actually made it faster from first update to the second, and then it became slower.
It's amazing.
I know. And so I, at that point, I just said, fuck it. I'm going to root my phone and install custom firmware. And then I found out about Carrier IQ, which apparently most carriers use. It basically like tracks things on your phone and sends information to... What?
Who doesn't know that? I mean, that's common knowledge.
Is it? Okay. Well, here you go. Sprint, on the other hand, tracks pretty much every fucking thing you do. Every icon you hit, every application you run. So that apparently is a huge bog on the system. And after rooting my phone, it's working really fucking awesome now. So I am happy I did it.
That's very technical sounding. That's why I was kind of fucking with you because I was like, wow,
no,
this
it
is
was.
Like
and it was
all
only technical,
above my head.
It was only technical sounding because you don't know anything about it.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Really not,
exactly.
It was really not technical at all.
Yeah, and that's like a different, like a whole different realm. Like, because like Megan got a Nook Color, like, you know, Crystal has. And I'm trying to talk her into rooting that and everything. So we were over at P.F. Chang's for Mother's Day, celebrating with her family. And I was sitting there trying to convince her family. I was telling her, you know what? Your sister will not let me root her Nook. And they're looking at me like I'm just saying the most perverted shit because they have no clue. It's going over their heads.
That's
so So, did Crystal let you root her Nook?
There's nothing like a good fucking Nook
would
rooting,
not.
I'm just
going to
say.
A good Nook rooting. Get right up there and just root it up.
Hell yeah.
I would not risk doing that to
how much root do you
to
root?
her Nook.
To her Nook. Yeah. You don't want to risk her Nook.
I don't want to risk her Nook. That's right. You never know what would happen if I rooted her Nook. I would have to get another Nook if I was going to
root. Can I root your Nook?
But yeah, that's it for me. So let's talk about some games. Oh, you got your shit now?
I remembered. Yeah, I got. Well, first of all, of course, I have the shout outs to Better Tomorrow and his lovely wife Laura because we met up with them last Friday. So after we recorded, very cool people. We went to the Elephant Castle, which I'm sure some of our listeners will remember when Sass Bob and other member of Retroids came to visit him, myself, and Zavari from Retroids went to took a cab across the street. Remember that story? Yeah, one of the same place. It's good times. And actually, he donated to us a nice set of Capcom shot glasses, which one lucky winner will receive those, actually. So if you actually submit a question in his questions or a past email or a current email that we're going to read on the show today, you automatically get entered into a draw to win those. So good luck.
Ooh. We're pretty generous. I'm not going to lie. Pretty nice.
We're just that so, awesome. Yes, actually, you should say better tomorrow is that awesome. That's what it is.
I'm going to say better tomorrow is that, that awesome. Thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, he's
very,
okay.
Very nice of you. The other thing I wanted to mention, actually, is another. I'm going to throw another shout-out to another Retroids member, is Mike Strife. He's been listening for a while.
Hi, Mike.
He let me know of this new game center, actually, in Toronto that opened up. So anyone who's local in Toronto or close to it that listens, if you've heard of ANC Games, they're a game store actually at Spadina and Bloor. They opened up an actual game center just literally like two places over called ANC World. They're calling it like a beta phase right now. They basically go in there and they have a bunch of consoles set up and they're going to run tournaments for like a bunch of tournaments. They had actually on their opening day, they had a tournament for Smash Brothers. And you can go in there. It's $5 for access all day. And also when you pay that $5, you also get a $5 voucher for anything in their store. So you're paying $5, but you get $5 off of anything in the store kind of thing. Mm. So that's kind of cool. I'm going to check that out, actually. I'm hoping to check that out in the next couple of weeks. I want to go in there and maybe, you know, scope it out, maybe interview them. But it sounds cool because I think more places like this need to kind of open up, especially as cool as Battle and Brew is. I mean, that's a fucking bar with video games in it. I don't think this is licensed by any means, but it's a good start. Anyway,
cool.
At least from Toronto. So if you're in Toronto or anywhere in the area, Spadina and Bloor, ANC World, by ANC Games. You should check that out.
I'm going to check it out.
Sounds really interesting. I'll try to remember to put the link in the show notes so people can check it out. They have some pics and stuff. But yeah, I need to throw that out there because that's always good things. Always good things.
Mazel.
So very cool.
And let's talk about some games. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. Travis, why don't you start?
Jumped into my backlog a little bit. In prepper, because this week, because we didn't like a specific game we played on IndieStream, so I was like, okay, well, there goes my big release of the week, so I'm not going to buy that, and I'm going to play something that I've been meaning to play, and it was The Saboteur. Not bad. Not a bad little game. It's your basic third-person open-world game. They do some cool stuff, and this was Pandemic. This was the game that Pandemic did before they got shut down, which is unfortunate, because they did some really, really cool stuff in this game. Game probably could use a little bit more work, a little more money, but we can all kind of see that that's probably not what they got, and henceforth they got shut down for it. But yeah. The game's fun, man. It's a really good blast. It's a decent mixture of Assassin's Creed with the climbing walls and everything, with also being a straight up like bullet riddled shooter. But basically you're this Irishman, your family has been oppressed by the Nazis. It takes place in the 40s, and it takes place in France in the 40s and everything. So you're in a Nazi occupied France, and it's pretty neat because of course you're a resistance fighter and you want to, you know, take back your land. They'll take back the land from the Nazis. And basically, what this game was being, the way Pandemic like presented this game out and everything was that was the certain style of the game, and that is like the majority of the game is in black and white. And that whenever the game's in black and white, that shows that the Nazis have a strong foothold in that area. If you do something significant and it loosens the Nazi hold in that area, the color starts going back into the world. So if you're standing in a really, really, really tall building and you're in the place that's, you know, the Nazis have a control of, you can stand on a high building, look out in the distance, and you can see in color all the places that you have, you know, freed already, or vice versa and everything. So, and even if like the levels of like, if you're walking around and it's daytime and it's in a level that you have freed, you can stand on the precipice of a place that's oppressed, and you can look up in the sky and you can see literally like the blue sky is separated by dark sky. It's really neat, like just how the game looks and everything, and how you can kind of, you know, tell, okay, I need to go here and I need to free these people and whatnot. They did a really good job with that. I think the voice acting is really, really good, believe it or not. Some of the French actors are kind of meh, a little meh here and there, but like there's a the main character, he's Irish and he's got a really strong accent, and it just sounds really, really good.
Thanks for offending all of our Irish listeners.
Right? Yeah, I know, right? Are you saying I have a bad Irish accent? I think it was pretty good.
No, it's, yeah, it's spot on.
Oh, okay. What was that accent?
That one, yeah, I don't even fucking know.
No, but the game's fun. I mean, it plays really loose in terms of the I think Pandemic knew it. They needed to tweak their aiming system and everything. So they did that by giving the game a super, super generous aim assist. Like, you could not be anywhere near the guy, and as long as you hold that trigger to go down to, like, not your iron sights, but like to get that zoom in mode, it like drills right to him, and not just to the character, right on their head. So it's like left trigger, right trigger, automatic headshot.
Insta headshot.
So, I mean, it's not that for every character, but I'm saying easily 70-75% of the time it does that. So it does take away a little bit of the difficulty, which, you know, these games have, for me, historically, are just kind of easy. Like Grand Theft Auto, I just see it as an easy game. And it's a little too easy now. I don't know. So, but other than that, I mean, the game's fun. You know, a little glitchy here and there, but I'm enjoying the heck out of it. Probably not going to be able to finish it until when L.A. Noire hits, or by the time L.A. Noire hits. So, but that's literally the only thing different than the main big releases that have come out and everything. I tried Clash of Heroes, Might and Magic Clash of Heroes.
Oh, yeah? What do you think?
It's fun. It's super, super hard. I could see me throwing a controller or two.
How far are you into it?
I mean, it's not a spoiler.
No, there's not really
the beginning things, like, you know, when the kids pretty much are on their own.
It's like second, is that like the second chapter?
I'm like halfway through the second chapter.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm right past where the trial would end, I guess.
Oh, okay, so that's pretty much the very beginning.
Yeah, I
know what you're talking about. So it's after the whole part where, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I get where you're at.
So it's just kind of tough. Like I like the synergizing of like, you know,
the
role playing game, the units, and then the puzzle aspect of it. It's really cool. I like how they do that. But sometimes I'm just sitting here wondering myself, like, how the hell is the computer? Like, it seems like it's cheating. Like
you got to get
playing
in the
game,
really.
And I feel like the game is cheating. And it's every 20 seconds, I'm like, no, it's bullshit.
Yeah. But once you get in the groove, once you get the hang, they just play through it like a little, like one time. Like, I played the trial alone like three or four times, so I kind of had a good hang of what to do. And you have to, once you get in the mode to think like three moves ahead, it becomes pretty easy. I wouldn't say easy, because of course, like any game like that, you'll think it's easy for a bit, then all of a sudden you'll get to a fight that you really have to kind of adjust the ways you play. But if you're usually boss fights or some kind of, like, have you got to any of the fights where you have to do something specific to win the match, like hit the chains, like that stop a door from closing, or...
I don't think so. No.
Those ones are annoying to me, because you can only hit certain aspects of something that's on, like, the map.
Right.
And, yeah, those are freaking annoying, because a lot of those, I'm like, this is just pure luck if this happens to hit here or whatever, but...
Well, I'm missing a mind frame right now. I cannot have fun while I think the game is cheating. So
I hear you. Try playing against somebody online.
Yeah,
it fucking.
Well,
I just
don't know how far I'm going to get into that game, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
like I got it on the whim, and I don't even know why I did. To be honest with you,
it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. It's cool.
It's a great game, and if it wasn't for my fucking color blindness, I would have bought it for sure.
Wow, I'm depressed now.
It's not like he lost an arm or something.
I know, seriously. It's like, I've lived with it for 35 years. Yeah, I think I can handle it for the rest of my life.
He sucked it
I'm
up,
good.
Travis. Why can't you?
Oh, man. If you could only see how good the colors in the last Castlevania game was, Chris. They just popped.
Oh, Travis, I'm going to really beat the hell out of you the next time I see you.
I'm glad you missed me. So anyway, that's really, I'm going to make it quick, man. That's all I really played that's worthwhile.
All right. This is going to be a short distraction, isn't it?
Yeah,
Jeff, what do you got, man?
The main thing, I guess, that I put some time into is the Gears of War 3 beta, some more of that.
Yeah, I played that, too.
Yeah, I played a few. Like, how you liking it so far? Think it's good? Did you play Gears 2 a lot? I think that's what I need to ask everybody, because I didn't play a lot of Gears 2. I played it for, like, a week.
I would have played a lot more Gears 3 beta if they added some sort of, like, cooperative multiplayer matchmaking stuff, like Horde mode or anything like that, because I'll be honest with you, like, I am not a fan of Gears of War, the series, at all. Mm-hmm. On a competitive level. I don't think it works. I think the gameplay system is good for playing against bots, AI bots. Now, whether or not the multiplayer system is where you're playing cooperative with people or you're playing by yourself in the campaign, I think the game is brilliant. I think it works really, really well, but not the least bit when you're playing against other people, because when you have something that's so easily exploitable as, like, constant rolling, and that's all you do. You're shooting at people, and they're rolling. Yeah. And it's – the AI will never do that when you're playing against them. Even on higher difficulty levels playing Horde mode where the difficulty ramps and ramps and ramps, they'll never do that ever.
Well, no, but and also to me, in an FPS, no AI will ever circle strafe you either or zigzag strafe or anything like that.
And even for me, though, that's why I'm starting to lose my luster in Call of Duty. Like Black Ops, I didn't play that much Black Ops compared to like Modern Warfare. I slowly, even Halo, I didn't play nearly as much Reach as I did Halo 3. I think I'm starting to lose my that luster or the appetite for like competitive multiplayer. I want to play things that are more cooperative.
Yeah, I said that actually. I was talking to Chris and Scott actually today, an email thread. I was saying like my first person shooter, like, interest and taste is degrading pretty quickly. And that also goes with kind of, like, third-person shooters, too. Like, I'm more interested in something like an Uncharted 3 or something like that to play through it on single player and then maybe some co-op stuff than to go into jump into, like, Gears Online. Because I will say, like, I didn't play a lot of Gears 2. I think that game is the worst for host advantage. Like, yes, other FPSs have host advantage, but it doesn't seem to be as much up in your face as the Gears games, because if you're the host in Gears 1 or 2, you have such a big advantage, it's not even funny. Like, you can almost tell just by scores after a round on who was the host, because they're just going to bust a shotgun. Oh, God, yeah. Like, you'll get, like, head-to-head against somebody. You'll see that you pull the trigger first, and then you'll die, and it's so blatantly obvious. You're like, okay, that guy had host advantage because it didn't register on his Xbox yet, but because his Xbox is the one hosting the whole thing, when he pulled his trigger, it registers first, and you die. And it was a big problem. That's why they moved it to dedicated servers for Gears of War 3, because it's the only way to make it kind of fair.
Yeah.
But the people in this game are... It's right up there with Halo and Call of Duty now, where if you jump into that series, you gotta be able to take an ass-kicking
for quite a while.
Yeah, because I consider myself good at Gears 1. Like, we played a lot of that, me and a couple friends, like, back in the day, like, for a few months anyway, like, online, like, every night. And for some reason, we just kind of didn't play 2. And going back into it, it's like, oh, wow, like, these guys have definitely stuck with this game for a long time, because they are doing what you're saying, like, rolling everywhere. Like, I try to roll everywhere. I'm like, okay, I'll just cheese them out like they're doing to me. But I can't do it. I roll, and I get my ass blown up.
Right.
I'm like, well, how does it work for these guys? But I just get my ass killed.
Yeah.
But it does look good. I mean, it has all the upgrades to the Unreal Engine, so it kind of looks like the lighting is freaking awesome. There's absolutely no texture pop in now, which is, like, synonymous with Gears games.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. It's about fucking time. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, and it looks good. It plays well. Like, I have nothing wrong with the way it plays. Like, the controls feel tight. It's just, I don't know if it's my interest in the series. Like, I won't say the series, because I will play the single player for sure in co-op, definitely. But like you said, man, the online competitive shooters are just kind of, I don't know.
They're littered with preteen people, kids that have way too much time on their hands.
Yeah, it's not even that, though. Like, I could deal with that before and just, you know, you play to get good. Now I just, my taste in games are kind of changing, I guess. And, like, we played some Halo Reach, actually, last, I think it was Friday night, if you just jumped on there. And I had a fun. It was a good time, but I wasn't like, this is fucking awesome. We got to do this again soon. Like, then again, there was about 8 of us or 7 of us in a party, and it was very loud, and we weren't really focusing on the game that much. But, I don't know. It's just kind of... I hope it's just a phase, because I love my first-person shooters. I just hope this is just one of those things where it's like I'm just kind of getting sick of them for the moment, and I'll get back into them. I just feel like it takes... There's a big learning curve, steep learning curve to a lot of these games now, and you have to really stick with them to be competitive. And unless you're playing matches totally with just your friends, both like against and with, most of the time you're just not going to have fun, because you're just going to get obliterated.
Yeah.
It's just, not cool.
I agree.
God bless internet and video games.
Yeah, well, PlayStation users don't have to worry about that right now.
Yeah.
possibly not until the end of May.
Yeah, I know, right? Can I say something out to the... This is actually not to you guys right here. This is actually out to the world and everything. So, dear world.
Because the world is listening.
Dear world.
World, I have something for you. All you gamers, like PlayStation gamers, that are just worried about your fucking Call of Duty Black Ops and your Modern Warfare and all that other bullshit, and you want to stick at the Sony for something that Sony didn't do wrong, and you want to fucking just say, you know, I'm about to give up my PlayStation. I'm going to sell all that shit and get an Xbox just so I can start over and play your Call of Duty. Just fucking wait a minute. Jesus Christ. It's not a big fucking deal. Yeah. Like, I understand, like, I'm tired of the incessant, like, you know, people, you know, it sucks. I can understand one person, it's the only console they have. They have one PlayStation, that's it. That sucks. I can understand that. But if you're going to sit there and complain and threaten to a company that this is not their fault, but you're going to threaten to them and go out and you're going to sell all your shit to buy an Xbox just so you can start all the fuck over again to play one game.
Can I say something?
That shit, man.
Use this time, since these people like put hours and hundreds of hours into Call of Duty. Use this time to go out and play some of the really fucking awesome single player games that are on PS3.
They don't care about that.
Yes. Play other games.
Did you play Infamous? Did you play the Uncharted games? Did you play Demon's Souls?
They don't care about that.
Did you play Mass Effect 2?
This is the way to play Demon's Souls right now. No one can come into your game and gank you.
Not really, because that shit's all based on fucking online.
Oh, no, you can totally play it right now. You can totally play it.
Oh, you can, but what I mean is you're not getting the full experience, so to speak. But,
well, that's true, yeah.
What pissed me off about like the Call of Duty players, like I can see if they're competitive players where they're like, shit, I can't practice. I'm not going to like stay on top of my game. Yeah, but no one else playing on the PSN right now is like getting practice in either, so don't fucking worry about it.
Yeah.
You're fine.
I don't mind people complaining and having problems with that being, especially if the PlayStation is their only console. I get that, and I can totally empathize with their situation because that sucks. I have my Xbox, I don't have that issue, so it's real easy for me to step up and say, you know what, fuck those guys, they need to quit bitching. It can be a bad situation for some people, but don't go off and just fucking sell all your shit just to get an Xbox. It's ridiculous. It just bothers me. Like, there's so many other good things to play. So many other.
I would agree.
I mean, just open, like,
it,
open
see,
your
it doesn't
eyes.
Bother me at all in the least. I mean, they might be like, okay, they shouldn't do that, but I don't really give a shit. They're the ones missing out. Why do you care if they do it? Like, really?
Yeah, that's true.
It's not worth getting stressed out about, believe me. It's like, they want to do it, fine. They're going to go trade in their shit for half the value. Not even half the fucking value. And whatever, but...
I just see it every day, face to face.
Oh, of course
you
do.
Like,
yeah,
I literally tell people, don't do that. Just wait. Just wait. It's not a big deal, dude.
Call of Duty is like Warcraft, man. People are just fucking... That's like crack. They need that shit.
It is.
But anywho, enough of that PSN business.
Yes.
It'll be up when it's up. Hopefully it'll be up by the next time we record. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
But,
Maybe.
Maybe I want to play some Mortal Kombat.
I know I do want to play
that. Yeah, me too. I haven't even opened my copy.
I'm about to sell my PlayStation copy and get on the 360. Fuck it.
I was thinking about doing that until I realized you motherfuckers are only giving $20 trade-in for it. And I was like, are you serious? The game just came out like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. I'm like, I can't.
Well, they probably have a lot of PS3 copies because no one can play online.
Oh, probably. I would have, if it was like 30 or 40 bucks, I was considering it. I would grab like another game trade-in. I was like, you know what? For 20, I'm like, I'll wait it out. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. hopefully. Unless Street Fighter AE Arcade Edition comes out before that, and then I'll be like, well, see you later, Mortal Kombat. Have fun.
Mortal what? But,
yeah, exactly. Dun, 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 dun. But yeah, they're the Gears 3 beta. I think that's pretty much it, like relatively new, besides the regular stuff. Play some Street Fighters, cool. Play some Mortal Kombat. That's right. It.
We played some Mortal Kombat Tuesday night. We played Brink, which was a horrible game.
God. Dude, that game was just straight up bad. I was seeing some people like try to defend it. Mm-mm. They need to be quiet. That game is
not
good.
I did not.
So what's actually wrong with it, though?
Okay, here's the first
tell.
First thing that I noticed, Jeff. First thing that I noticed is that when you zoom in and get into iron sight view, your motion does not slow down at all.
Oh, that's not good.
Right. And it's like you're supposed to zoom in to get it's the fine tooth comb to get over and be more accurate. And you just don't slow down. I mean, you still move just as quickly and turn just as quickly. So it's like, you know, that takes away from the ability to aim and get a good headshot or whatever. Yeah. And it's really distracting and it makes things more difficult. I mean, I found myself just not zooming in because it didn't really do anything for me. All it did was make shit harder. And, you know, there's also the fact that all the enemies were bullet sponges. You know, none of them seemed to react to anything.
If you can hit them, because the hit detection's pretty bad too.
Yeah, the hit detection is bad, and you go around. You go around the corner, and it's you seem to not miss them all the time, but they capped off like four rounds, and they all went into you, and you died.
Yep.
So, you know, it's I don't know. I did not like it, and that's not even from a I don't like first person shooters, you know, perspective. It's from a the game needs work perspective. It just did not feel good at all.
To me, they weren't even fucking trying. Like what you would call, and I'm doing it over the radio, but air quotes, single player campaign. What they're calling that?
Yeah, it's a multiplayer with bots.
It's an arena. It's an arena with bots, and they're saying, hey,
it's Shadowrun all over again. And it's ridiculous. You figure they fucking like learn their lesson where a game like that should not release for $60.
Mm-mm.
No,
especially when a game like called Section 8 Prejudice came out 2 weeks beforehand, which arguably is a better game,
right?
For $15.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It was not good.
The one thing that I will say that was really cool about it, and we touched on this in the stream, is I thought that the like the character models. And like the different customization you could do for your characters, I thought that was pretty cool. I liked the stylized look of it, that kind of thing. But you know, it just felt unfinished. And the whole parkour thing, you jump over rails. That's
it
like
was bad,
all we
dude.
Saw. And it's like and he was and like Travis was sliding and he couldn't shoot while sliding, or something like that. Isn't that what happened? You tried to slide and you couldn't shoot while sliding.
I was trying to slide and trip guys up. That's what I was trying to do.
Okay,
I was trying
to
slide
guys
up, and I tried
to like storm kind of style.
Yeah, and it wouldn't work. And I've seen it in videos, and it didn't work. And it doesn't
help. Maybe you should have pre-ordered it somewhere else where they came with the trip up option.
Maybe, possibly. Yeah, exclusive.
It's a pre-order bonus through Amazon.
Yeah,
and it doesn't help the fact that the guy is slower than fucking old Snake from
Metal Gear
Solid 4.
Oh my god! Yeah.
For a game where you're supposed to be so agile and athletic, he's super slow. It's like crazy.
Hitting the run button makes him walk forward in a normal speed. That's what it kind of seems like. And take that and then like ridiculous amounts of texture pop in. It's just not a good
game. I did notice that, especially when you're up against walls and stuff. A lot of clipping too.
A lot of that's true.
Don't buy that game, people.
That's disappointing because that's like they're pretty deep. Well, they're great. Okay, none of us have played it, and take this with a grain of salt, but I've heard the PC version is a lot better, and they are a PC-first developer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they did Enemy Territory, they did Quake Wars, and all that kind of stuff, so those are pretty decent games. But, I don't know.
Hopefully Rage is better.
Yeah, Rage does look awesome. So what do you guys think of Red Faction, if you're not going to mention Red Faction?
I was about to mention Red Faction. Red Faction, I have kind of a love-hate for it because whereas like one of the things that Travis is really touching on is that they took away the open world and they kind of made it like like this tunnel type shooter and that kind of thing, and they don't let you blow through walls like apparently the older Fred yep. factions did and stuff like that. I have to admit, man, some of those weapons are really fucking cool, man. It felt like I was playing a I think someone mentioned it on the stream. It felt like there was some Ratchet and Clank influence. That's what some of these weapons
yeah.
felt like.
And there was. Yeah. But Red Faction was never about the weapons.
No,
it was
I know. And that's why I don't think it should be called
traversal.
A Red Faction. Yeah.
Exactly.
This is where I was raging on the stream. Why don't you think it should be called a Red Faction game?
Because it's why it shouldn't?
Yes.
Because it's not like you're on Mars anymore. Like,
you're still
granted,
on Mars. You're
granted,
in Mars.
Granted, we haven't seen any of the outside stuff, and maybe yeah. there is plenty of the outside traversal. Maybe not mm-hmm. be an open world, but some open wide
okay.
linear spaces.
This
maybe.
Is where I'm going to rewind. Where did Red Faction start?
It started in the caves, but that's the thing.
No,
the
it started
hook.
In the caves, the first shooter that was linear. Red Faction Guerrilla is the first Red Faction that was open, and that took place on the surface, and it took place like in this open environment. So basically, this is more, if anything, kind of a throwback to the original Red Faction. It's just in third person.
I can't agree because there's no destruction aside from staircases.
Oh no,
there
is destruction. There's just like maybe not in the in the trial in the demo or whatever. There's definitely destruction, lots of it.
I was the first thing I did. The first weapon they give you. You start off in a hallway, and the first weapon they give you is a grenade launcher. All
yeah.
right, and I'm like, oh, the first thing I'm doing, we're back in the caves, I'm hitting this wall up, and I do it, and nothing happens. It explodes, and there's just solid wall there. And that's when
I
lost it, Jeff.
Again,
in
Red Faction 1 and 2, you couldn't blow up anything you wanted to. It was set points where you could blow a hole into a wall.
I'm
it
sorry,
was basically
but
like
those walls,
shortcuts.
No, all those walls, they did degrade. If anything, they degraded. But some walls
yeah,
you can actually find yeah. shortcuts and everything.
Yeah, some walls you can actually bust through. But there is definitely destruction in this game if you watch other videos. Like, this doesn't happen in the demo. That's what I'm saying. This is like a small little vertical slice of like this linear thing. I think they wanted to show off like the new graphics engine and the whole rebuild a staircase out of nothing kind of thing and the mech suit and all that kind of stuff. But the only thing I really disagreed with is I think right away when I saw it, it does look like a Red Faction game. Maybe
yeah.
It does kind of feel like one. But I mean, if anything, I think it's more of a throwback to the old ones where they're making it more linear, if it is indeed linear. I don't know 100% if it is.
Yeah.
If that's just if there's like some kind of hub world and you just go through like missions that are like that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I got a total Red Faction vibe from it, like just watching. And I was like, I'm going to download this and see what it's all about. But
oh, it doesn't mean I'm not going to buy it day one. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it.
It looks fun.
Day two for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks fun. So I'll probably get it. But From the perspective of whether or not it should be called Red Faction or not, I can't really comment with any like value because I've only played Guerrilla. That's all I've
played. Yeah, if you've only played Guerrilla, then you'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah. It is definitely a big change from Guerrilla, but I didn't play the original.
But if you played Red Faction 1 and 2 and then played Guerrilla, you'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
even more.
Probably.
Like, they changed the whole perspective on that motherfucker.
But I'll tell you what, man, that magnet gun, that shit is fun.
That did look cool.
Oh,
like,
that's it was
like,
fun.
It, like, I only played the demo till like, actually just before that, where you get to the point where all the stalagmites and stalactites are all over the walls.
It was fun. That was good stuff. But that is it for me. So we can jump into some news.
Yeah.
What's going on this week, guys?
Dude, there's a lot of news, considering.
Let's fire through.
Considering usually no news. Soul Calibur 4. Was announced.
Five.
I always say four. It is five. Five is the one that has been announced with the new one. There's going to be some new characters. Not much is really actually released, really, except for a cinematic announcement trailer.
Doesn't it actually, like the whole quote-unquote storyline, follows, like, Sophitia's son or something like that?
Sophitia's, I don't know. And don't really care, really.
Yeah,
but
yeah it doesn't really matter.
Sure. But I mean, that's. I'm trying to think when 4 came out. That must have been years ago. I'm guessing like 4 years ago. Maybe
it's less.
Three?
It's less than that.
Is it really?
Oh yeah, because it came out while we were doing the show.
Okay, so I'm guessing like 3 years ago then.
Yeah,
it was definitely
like
definitely early. So I mean, I originally would have been mad excited for this. I'm like, yes, Soul Calibur 5. But the rebirth of like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat and Blaze Blue and all these 2D fighting games made me realize how much I'm not really a fan of 3D fighting games. So.
I do like Soul Calibur, though. It is
cool.
A good quality 3D fighting game.
Yes, it is definitely fun. It's coming out.
What else?
Do you have anything else you want to throw in there before I keep going down this list?
I have one. So apparently, and we kind of knew this was coming, but and this is more of a ranting opportunity. Mm-hmm. But there's apparently 3DS prepaid cards that are spotted at Best Buy, and
so what?
The reason that this bothers me is because it says only for use with the 3DS.
Okay, it is in fact its own console. We have proven this as a scientific
I'm holding one in my hand.
And hey, you know what? Nintendo is the only one that doesn't fucking do something unique across their platforms. Why are there just not Nintendo points? Why does it have to be Wii points, DSi points, and 3DS points? Why can't you just have Nintendo points? It makes them, I mean, even though it's like the point value is the same as the dollar amount, mm-hmm. it makes them the most retarded of the three systems.
I don't see what the problem is.
The problem is that I can go to my, well, if PSN is up, I can go to my PS3 and put money on it, and I can use it on my PSP. That's okay. The problem.
And then that is convenient, but it's not inconvenient that you have to use something that's the same point value, but it is inconvenient
because I have money on my Wii that I can't use on my 3DS.
Exactly.
That's bullshit. I've given Nintendo money. I want to use it on my 3DS. Why can't I use it on my 3DS? Oh, because I have to have 3DS points.
Yeah, you have to buy
bullshit.
A brand new card.
Nintendo needs to get their shit together. They need to have a cross-platform point system. It is dumb.
I think if the 3DS connected more, like wirelessly connected to the Wii, where you can like transfer games back and forth and everything, then yes, I would agree that it would need a similar. But they're two separate machines. They don't do anything toward each other.
The PSP and the PS3 are two different
PS3
machines.
And PS, yeah, exactly. Like it's like PSN is an actual network, kind of like the WiiWare and the Virtual Console and all that should be. If you can access that, because Virtual Console is coming to the 3DS. It's already been like announced some kind of version of it. So basically, if Chris buys like a 2,000 point card for his Wii, inputs it to buy stuff on his Virtual Console, it's like, you know what? I'm going to save this 1,000. That's something I really want. And then something on his 3DS comes out. It's like, oh, wow, it's 800 points. I want to buy this on my 3DS. Even though it's technically the same thing, he can't do that unless he goes and buys another card or more points.
And how much you want to bet that like all the Virtual Console shit that I bought on my Wii, I'd have to rebuy it on my 3DS. Unlike the PSN, where I can buy a PlayStation 1 game and it'll work on my PS3 and it'll work on my PSP.
Now we're talking about a different thing, but I agree with you there.
It's the same concept. It's one network.
The thing is, they don't have a network.
And that's the fucking problem.
Okay, that's the point. Bitch about them not having a network and not the fact that they have different cards.
They're similar, hand in hand.
Exactly. I was going to say they're hand in hand for sure. It's like chocolate and fucking peanut butter.
Okay, say this is bullshit.
Say
this is a ranting point. They have these cards now. Hello, Nintendo. Get a system. Get a straight system. Rant over. Done with. Don't make it about the fucking cards.
But it's not about the cards.
It's the system of the cards. He's making a system about the cards because of the way that it's implemented. He's not saying having different cards is dumb. Having the fact that they aren't universal is dumb.
Right.
Because you can buy. The only reason
I mention the card is because it says on it only for use for 3DS, and it's because there is not a singular network. It was not about the card. I don't give a fuck about the card. It's the fact that there are 3DS points and DSi points and Wii points, and it is dumb. It is fucking stupid. Nintendo is much better than this. They make shit tons of money off their machines and their games. Make a network. Give me a fucking break.
I agree with you there.
Fuck them.
Fuck them,
Jeff.
Anywho,
speaking of fuck them, Microsoft bought Skype for...
Fuck them.
Like $8.5 billion.
Can I rant again?
Buy Skype on PSP. See ya. It was fun.
It'll still be fine.
I'm wondering actually. Maybe I should pull up Skype real quick and look at the about. Did this already happen? Did they already put Microsoft's name on it?
That was a cash transaction, my friend.
Yeah. It's been transferable more so than Wii 3DS points.
No, I. What I'm getting at is like, and this is probably on the backup somewhere, but as we were in the middle of our call, while we were in a little break trying to figure out something, some technical problem, I started up a call, and all of a sudden the call shut down, and Skype said, "I'm installing an update." And yeah. I'm like, why are you installing a fucking update? I was in the middle of a call. It's yeah, like, that,
it
did
was,
you really?
It was linking you to Windows Live.
That's what right. That's right. Ah, okay.
So
next.
Anyway. Yeah, that's not really.
$8.5 billion.
Yeah. So, and but they did come out and say it's not going to be an exclusive service. So, all you guys who are afraid that have this on like your Macs or your iPhones or anything.
It sounds like Chris is trying his best Dr. Evil impression.
But yeah, you'll be fine. They just bought it. They're probably going to have some way to... We were talking about this earlier off the air. Is the only thing we can really think of is it'll be an option on Xbox Live Gold service to be able to connect, video connect with people with Kinect. Wow. Didn't want that to come out that way.
Wait. So we can podcast on Xbox Live?
Technically, I guess we could. Yeah, it would probably sound like shit, though.
I would
with the microphones they give you anyway.
Yeah, it probably would sound like shit.
But yeah, technically you could. You could talk with Xbox 360 on your Xbox. It would be the same thing as if you had Skype for your PSP or anything or your iPhone. Right. You can talk to other people. I'm guessing it'll be only for Gold members. Because they're not going to take this away from the other people that have this on their... Because everyone has it on their iPhone. Like, fucking everyone I know has Skype on their iPhone.
Right.
They're not going to be like, this is going to be Windows or MS users only. There's no freaking way. If they do that, they're just fucking retarded, especially if they paid $8.5 billion. That'd just be dumb. But anywho,
this just in. This just in. Microsoft en route to buy the moon. Just saying.
Well, no one goes there anymore anyway, so who cares?
They got blowed up.
Mortal Kombat Collection, if you guys didn't check, actually just today was released. The MPDs came out. Mortal Kombat was the best-selling game in April.
Of all time.
By quite a bit. So they're going to be releasing the Mortal Kombat Collection on Xbox Live for 800 Microsoft points. It's going to be Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. So it's pretty good deal for those games. I do have one beef. I don't like Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 at all, only because I swear it's broken. Not in the way that it plays, but the fact that I have that for Xbox Live, and I had it for... I can't remember what other system I had it for, but I had it for something else. It seems to recycle the same four maps over and over and over again, and all of a sudden it'll be like, okay, now we're going to start giving you the other maps that are in the game, and it's just... I don't know what's going on with it. Anyway, Chris, I heard you sigh a little bit.
Why are they releasing this game?
I didn't sigh any. I don't care.
Oh, it was Travis. Why are they releasing it? Because Mortal Kombat was the best-selling game, and they're probably like, yo, we can make more money?
It just seems that this would have made more sense if they released this package before.
Yeah. Especially
totally.
Considering Mortal Kombat is the newest one is the best one that they've ever made.
Ever.
I think so it's by far the best Mortal Kombat ever.
Yeah. I just don't understand the decision. Let's put the old shit on there now.
I think because 2 was released on PSN and 3 was released, Ultimate 3 was released on Xbox.
Yeah.
I don't think either of them really did that well. And I think they're kind of waiting for something to rejuvenize Mortal Kombat, and this kind of did it. But I'm with you, man. They should have done it before it came out.
Because I think people would have bought it more. I think it would have succeeded more if people would have, if they would have released this before.
I agree 100%.
I'd probably buy it, and I'd probably go back and play a couple matches of it and be like, okay, that was fun. And then go back to the new one.
But you would buy it. There it is.
Yeah, exactly. That's the big thing. That's all I care about. Yeah. And I'll probably be that dude. Anyway, but one person that does or is going to get my money, Namco Bandai, for Dark Souls.
Yeah.
What up?
Yeah.
Got a release date. It's going to be October. No firm release day, just the month of release in October. But check this out. If you pre-order anywhere you want to for $59.99, you get the limited edition for free. So basically...
But it's not just... Any limited edition. Like, can you, like, educate on everybody what the limited edition
you
is?
You can do that.
Basically,
this is basically the same thing that happened with Demon's Souls, because the first run was the limited edition, but it was what? Like,
it was an art book.
It was an art book, and that was pretty much it.
It was a hint book, soundtrack, and the game.
But it came in, like, the normal DVD.
Cool packaging.
Like a normal DVD size package, Not this one. If you get the first run of this, you get this huge, it has box set. Like, it looks like a limited edition, like, big box set that you would spend at least $70 to $80 for.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of stuff in it.
Let's see.
And it comes with a big hulking dude to come to your house, And when the game's kicking your ass and you want to quit, he punches you in the face, calls you a pussy, and he fucked your mother and tells you to play more. That's what he does.
God, I love Atlas.
Sorry, Chris, what are you saying? It comes with a what?
Included is a limited edition art book, a mini strategy guide,
right.
A behind-the-scenes video, and the game's soundtrack for digital download.
All packaged so it's with basically the same as the first one. So the first one came on disc, the soundtrack, I think.
Yeah, it's a bigger package, though. I mean, it's got more to it.
Yeah.
It seems. So it's good shit, man. Cool. It is good shit.
Check it out October on 360 and the PS3s. And if you don't like that kind of stuff, you know, Hitman Absolution was announced by the Ubies. Coming out sometime in the fall.
The Oobs.
Next year. There's actually no release date.
I love the Oobs.
It's been a while since the Oobs. It's been a while since that game. I mean, the first one was like, it was like a first generation 360 game, I think.
Yeah.
It was the last one they put out.
The last one, yeah.
Legends or something. I can't remember what it was called. Or is that Tomb Raider? Fuck it. Whatever. All the same shit. I know it's not the same shit in the same games, but whatever. But it's been announced. People are excited. It's on running on a brand new engine. So if you like that kind of stuff,
yeah,
you know, look out for it.
That's cool.
Yay.
Anything else?
I am good.
I'm good.
Nothing else?
No.
Nothing else?
All right.
I'm back.
Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit?
See, I set you up there.
Oh, that was awesome. All right, let's take a break.
Thank you. Yes,
dude. We're going to come back and we're going to do our emails and Indus questions that you guys have been sending in for the past few weeks. And then we're going to do new releases and a new question of the week. So stay with us and we'll be right back.
You in the face. It's time to wake up.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat. And I was good. Heck, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came and the responsibilities. I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the Game Backlog Support Group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog Support Group is a non-profit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back,
Thank
Chris.
You. I feel very good after that break.
Yeah, you should.
See, I feel worse.
I feel tired.
Sorry, Jeff. I owe you a drink. How about that?
It's okay.
It's my fault. That's
all. No, sorry. It's my fault for continuing drinking my my podcasting stash until once we were done. It made me feel like shit today. I should have stopped.
So basically, we're recording part two 24 hours later.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes correct.
Because Chris is being a pussy. He's being such a pussy so bad.
Hey, I'll take the heat for that one. I was in a bad mood last night, man. It would have been bad.
Papa Bear was cranky.
I was having a bad mood. I thought you were more tired than anything.
No, it wasn't. Like. It wasn't that I was tired. It was just like, I don't know what it was, man, but it was like the smallest little things were just, I felt like it was going to set me off. Man, so.
Yeah. Ever since Skype, that whole thing, that was a chain reaction.
Someone,
does an update during a call? It's fucking retarded.
Someone
should be fired. Bullshit.
Somebody took Papa Bear's porridge.
That's right. My warm porridge is gone.
Awesome. Well, you know what will get us in a good mood?
That's right. I'm feeling much better now. And it's good because we got a lot of stuff to go through. So let's get to it. We asked you guys for emails, and we did some Indus questions as well. And, man, we got a lot of shit to go through. So here we go. Travis, take it away, man.
Why not? We have a proverbial fat sack, I guess you guys would say.
Fat mail
We have a very large mail bag going on here.
Yeah, and it's just hanging. So we gotta loosen the weight here. So I'm gonna reach my hands in and I'm gonna dig something deep out here.
It's scraping floor.
Pretty much. It's just resting on the bottom lip. Okay, this has gone. This has gone too far.
Yeah,
hey guys, Southern Please Coyote, Southern Coyote from Retroids here. We all know that Newcastle is the official beer of Indus, but
yes, it is.
But what's runner up? Any love for one of the local breweries? Ooh, also, if it hasn't been mentioned, what's everybody drinking tonight?
Well, actually, it hasn't been mentioned because we were drinking. We mentioned what we were drinking last night.
But I do have a drink today. I can't remember what it's called though. Tanya was nice enough to share it with me. It is a Palm Bay
Mojito?
No, it's a fucking cocktail vodka drink. It's actually pretty good, though. The only reason I'm drinking this is because it actually tastes good, and it's good for a little bit of a hangover.
But it's like, so. it's like a Bartles and James or something. Like,
it's you know what? It tastes like a kind of fruity flavored pop, really, or soda, as you Americans.
So it's like a Zima with a Jolly Rancher in it.
Yeah, sure. That's
that sounds great.
Yeah. Pop is something a balloon does when you.
It definitely tastes like a Jolly Rancher, actually.
Yeah,
that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Does it moisten your vagina when you drink it?
It is, actually.
That's good. All right.
With all the mail bagging going on today.
A lot of that.
Bring some vag to the party.
It's good that there's a vagina that's in there. That's
yeah.
Okay, so I mean, even though I thought Indus Feast was the official. Is that the official Indus Fest beer or something? Like, what's Indus Feast? Is that the
Indus
run?
Feast will never be again, dude. It was a one.
Yeah, that was a
thing.
One-time thing.
Limited edition.
A dish.
I like it.
Can I please do it?
Shut up.
It's not a big deal.
I'm going right to an Innis question, by the way, after this, because that was perfect, Travis.
Okay.
Great transition.
Okay, so what's the runner-up? What's the runner-up?
Innis Feast was a one-time thing, man. I won't be able to ever... I mean, I can attempt to brew that again, but it would never be exactly the same.
Right.
Which is not really a big deal, and I do have one bottle that's left that I'm saving for posterity, but, you know, as far as Innis Feast goes, that's gone. But, runner-up for me, that is a tough one.
I'd go with Stella. Stella's actually my first, and I know Glenn, it's one of Glenn's favorites, too.
Yeah, Stella's good, man. I got to go with Smittix, though.
Smittix is really good.
Smittix is a good-ass beer.
But Stella's my go-to.
Okay.
What do you got? Is MGD still on the table?
MGD. Dude, I know a lot of people make fun of that shit, but
it's a guilty pleasure.
That's my second. If I'm not getting Stella, I'm usually getting MGD.
Right.
I tell you what, man. Something about a 12-pack that costs $8 makes it taste better.
See, that's fucked up. See, that's why it's so good there, because like here it's more expensive.
Really?
Like, it's imported. It? Yeah.
That's so a quality import over in Canada. Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, no. I mean, don't even get in that argument, dude. We have way better beer than there.
Oh, I agree.
But yeah, it is more expensive here.
Okay, you had to end this question to
follow up. Yeah, this one comes from Kansas 1073 or 1073.
Aight.
He says, "You guys have any other hobbies? Also, what's up with Travis shortening up words all the time? i.e., reg." Or what do you want to just say? Dish? No, what did you just say?
A dish.
Limited dish.
The reason I do it is because that is...
You're gay?
It's the haps, pretty
no,
much.
It's not.
Basically, it's the haps.
It's the retarded. It's the tarded. How about that?
Yeah,
it's the tard.
It's the tard.
What?
Oh,
Oddvy?
Oh. All right, got great conversation in the background also, with Jeff and T.
Yeah, it's great, like, for podcasting.
Obvi. Oh, that's anyway, like, shit. I forgot Obvi. About that. Oh, that was me at MGC. That was me and Tanya's thing. It was like, when something's obvious, you go, oh, Obvi. Obvi.
Anywho, any other hobbies you guys have?
Besides gaming, Star Wars Legos. Yeah, I like that shit. That's good
stuff.
I
like that shit. Travis.
Hmm. God, I mean,
besides rubbing them out,
that was my number one right there. But I didn't want to go with Obvi. I didn't want to go with the Obvi, so why not?
His hobby is shortening words and sounding retarded.
I gotta say, I mean, I haven't done it in about a year and a half, 2 years, but playing a guitar. Yeah. I used to do that a good bit and everything. I need to get back into that though. So
okay,
but I gave up my guitar at Indus Fest. So no. I have a Squire that I haven't pulled out in a while, so I need to do that. But yeah, I miss the guitar a lot.
Cool.
Yeah, I just did. I don't know if I used to play basketball. I'm not sure if that's really a hobby. It's more of like a
sure. Why not? Softball is one of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to play basketball all the freaking time, but not anymore because my work hours suck. But other than that, man, I can't think of any like actual hobbies. That I mean, I used to draw and shit back in the day, but I sucked at it.
Yeah,
and that was about it.
Cool. All right, so let's do another email real quick.
Do that shit.
And then maybe a voicemail
afterwards.
Well,
did we afterwards? Answer? What was Simon Coyote's question?
That was it.
Oh, okay.
Hobbies?
No, that was the...
No, Southern Coyote's question was the any
the
love
beer.
For local beer.
The beer.
Oh, the beer.
Yeah, right. I will say this: local breweries here, I love the local stuff here.
Ooh,
man.
Red Brick.
Red, yeah. Atlanta love Brewing it. Company is really good. Terrapin is awesome, and Sweetwater is also awesome. So I've been to all three breweries, and they all make good beer, man. So yeah absolutely, yeah. Tons of love for the Atlanta locals.
Yep.
Good one here too. Actually, I think Chris actually tried it, but Steam Whistle's
yeah,
brewed
Steam
here
Whistle's
in Toronto,
really
and it's
good
it's really good. That's probably my favorite locally brewed beer.
That was a good time, man. I like that.
Yeah, man. Cool. All
right, ready for another one?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It may be a VM afterwards. Let's see. Hello, Indus groupies. First off, I have to say, after seeing Travis finally on the Industream Tuesday, he kind of looks like an older Justin Bieber.
Nice.
next bet you lose, and of course I probably will, to Travis, you have to perform a Justin Bieber video. Also, if Brittany from last week's show from the Noobketeers, hey Brittany, is listening, I am not upset you still have Metal Gear Solid 4 shrink wrapped. I have Darksiders, Yakuza 3, and Yakuza 4 shrink-wrapped also. Anyhow, what would you seriously do to help PSN stay up and running? Also, have you ever bought a game that wasn't good but had a kick-ass soundtrack? I had Contra Legacy, wasn't that good to me, but the soundtrack was amazing. Talk to you all later. Oh, and since I turned 40, I was very ill on that day, and now I am rolling downhill this thing called fucking life. I also read, redid the lyrics to Rebecca Black Friday tune to fit the PSN outage. Later,
actually, I saw that. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. All right, so his main question was, what would you do to seriously help PSN stay up and running?
Update Apache.
I guess. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know anything about that stuff, but I guess sure.
It's really
don't
hard
piss
to say.
Off hackers, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. It's really hard to say because, you know, we don't know everything that happened. All we can do is speculate based on the information that was given to us.
Yeah.
As I said, you know, if it is true that Apache was an older version and there were security updates, that is probably one of the biggest things. There was also another rumor that there were actually no there were limited firewalls, and I mean that's a must. I mean you got to have that shit. Now a lot of these, I mean, there's also people out there that are disputing those rumors. So in reality, we don't know what happened. We don't know what kind of structure they have. All we can do is speculate. And you know, from the technical standpoint, it's, you know, it's really hard to say what you would do to make PSN more secure. And stay up and running. It just, you know, without knowing all the details, it's impossible to, you know, really answer that question accurately.
Ooh, that was textbook, Chris. That was nice.
You like that?
Very nicely done. All right. Jeff, see if you can answer it just as well as that with this one. Have you also bought a game that wasn't as good, but you still had a kick-ass soundtrack, so it was okay?
No.
I will say that Phantasy Star 3 was bad, but for some reason there were some certain songs in the soundtrack that kind of stuck in my head. So
really?
That's mine, I guess.
And it's funny that he brought up Darksiders in this as well as being a shrink wrapped game. But it's not a secret that I did not enjoy Darksiders. But the two things that I did praise in that game, one was the swimming. I thought the swimming was done very well for a third person action game. And also I thought that the audio, the music, and the voice was top notch. I thought both of those were really great. So I mean, Darksiders would have to be it for me.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
I mean, Lair had a pretty decent soundtrack from what
yeah
I
that's true. It was very orchestral and you know, put together really well, and the game was horrible, so you know. All right, awesome. What else we got?
How about a VM, man? You set up for
you
that?
Want a VM?
Why not?
Let's go to VM.
All right, let me get you one of those real quick. Well, I could say real quick, but I actually have to like move over to my laptop and do this kind of shit.
Greetings, Indus. It's Mentor, the Mind Taker. No, it's not a machine.
Couldn't
guess that, right? Huh? Hey, guys. Thoughts are in my head, so I have to say something and call somebody. So I decided to call you because I have no friends.
Yay! Aww.
Joking. There's something about video games that, like, there's certain series that they're not just like, oh, I like this series. Oh. or like, another sequel to this is coming out. Sure, I'll play that. Why not? You know, you get those games, but then there's those games that you love, and I'm not talking about love, but oh yeah, I love that game. No, it's like, I love this game, and you have to do with the enthusiasm. I love this game. So what are some games that you love? Like, they will have to actually work at it to make you say, man, I don't like this game. Like, I honestly, Mass Effect is like up there for me right now. Like, oh yeah, I thought that would be like a game I would like, but no, that's a love game.
Apparently the game of speed.
It's a great, so, yeah. So, of course, Kingdom Hearts, that's my other one. But yeah, what are your games? I'm just curious about that, so let me know. And Travis, this is one for you. Travis! So,
what?
Travis!
What?
We got a new Mass Effect DLC coming up soon. The Arrival. Yeah.
Oh, wow, this great. Is...
Yeah,
so, I'm just wondering, are you hoping this will be one focused on Ashley since the last one was on Liara?
I wish.
Huh? Yeah, that might be nice. You know, get your little thing with her again. You know,
get my wang wet.
Your Confederate flag, huh? Yeah, huh?
Confederate flag.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk
to you guys later. All right.
That was thanks, awesome. Navishin. Oh man, Navishin sends in good questions, man. This was a lost voicemail that I didn't see.
Yeah.
Until it was way too late, but this one was sent on February 28th.
Oh wow!
So it's pretty old. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always got good questions, man. So,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Series that you love that they would have to work to get you to hate to make a sequel. Now, two of mine are obvious. All right, so I'm not even going to say them.
Castlevania
and Fantasy Star.
Yeah. So the two a couple that I do want to mention are number one, Infamous. They would have to work really fucking hard for me to hate that game.
Yeah.
And then he mentioned Mass Effect, so I'll skip over that one. And the other one is Travis just mentioned it, Darksiders. I thought that game was fucking incredible, and they would have to work really, really fucking hard for me to hate that game, for Darksiders 2. So there you go. That's mine.
Yeah, Mass Effect definitely up there for me.
Me too.
Of course, God of War. Fuck. Ones that I really freaking love is tough, man. To be honest, like, I... Shadow Complex. Like, I...
Yeah.
That's nice. Probably the game I've played. I've played that game so many times.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
I probably played it through a game like three or four times. And
really?
I do not get sick of it. Yeah. And I don't even play all the way to the very end. I always, like, I play from the beginning to just before the end boss. And I'm always like, hey, this time I'm actually going to get 100% of the items. And I try to. And then I'm like, then I just get sidetracked. And then instead of just going back to it, I'm like, I need to start all over again and go through it. Yeah. But yeah. Other than the normal, Street Fighter, of course.
Yeah. let's see. Mass Effect, of course. The obligatory Mass Effect. I got to say Call of Duty. Because as much as I mean, it's easy to hate on those games, I still enjoy the shit out of them, no matter what. Even the ones that people considered bad, like Modern Warfare 2, I still love the hell out of the single player.
People considered Modern Warfare 2 bad?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Really?
I guess, kind of. It's kind of like people think Twilight Princess isn't that good. It's still great games, a lot of people still love it, but amongst the people that are really into it, they don't consider it the best one.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Uncharted. It's got to be.
I was going to say Uncharted 2.
They'd have to mess that up.
Yeah, they'd have to fuck up pretty bad. You know what? I was about to say that after Travis was done, but I only wanted to name two. But we could do good games that have come out this generation and just keep going. There's so many.
Oh, I know.
Right. Fucking so Dark Souls would have to be.
Dude, you stole my dark horse. That was it. God damn it. There's no way. I know it's going to be brutally hard, but there's no way, in my opinion, that is going to be a bad game. Like, I have full faith in 100%. Those guys. That game is going to be great.
I agree.
So
cool. Hey, how about another email?
Why not? Hey, Indus Crew, my email is more of a question, really. What do you consider the most shocking thing a video game has had you do? In my opinion, Modern Warfare 2's No Russian is at the top. I couldn't think of a chapter in a game more shocking than that. Interested in your take. Love, Zach.
I have one, but it's for a game that I haven't played. I'm not sure if that's fair.
Wait, what?
What?
I know so it happens. I know that it happens.
But what about a game that it made you do?
But I want
to
play
like,
this
you know,
game.
I don't know. Like, grind to a certain level, and you're like, fuck this.
No,
it's unbelievable.
I think more of an event in the game. Like I'm you know what? I'm going to say the one I'm thinking of anyway.
All right.
I think it's is it Extraction? Dead Space Extraction? Apparently, you have to shoot your own arm off because it gets trapped.
Oh, no? Fucking spoilers!
Is that Extraction?
Sorry.
That would be fucking awesome.
Well, mine's kind of similar. Like, mine's Dead Space 2, and minor spoiler, so if you haven't played through it, stop listening for about 5 seconds. But where you have to drill yourself in your own eye.
Oh, that is so rough,
to get
dude.
Your memory out.
That
to,
is
so oh, wow, dude. That's
that
crazy.
That is freaking gross. And that is so sensitive to me. Like, I can't even, like I said, I got contacts. I have not worn them yet because I cannot get them in my eye.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you what, you know, you're the way you talked about the darkness. Some of that shit's pretty crazy. I mean, it's not
dude,
something
that, one
that you
scene,
do.
You don't
but...
do, but something you watch. Well,
yeah,
pray.
Something,
and pray,
right.
You got to kill your own girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
But, well, you don't kill her. Won't you just watch her die?
No, you got to pull the trigger. You got to aim it at her head. And
oh, that's her. Right. That's right. Because she's getting like...
She's like half mutant kind of thing.
Yeah,
she's
that's
still,
right.
She's still aware. But she's like, yeah. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. Like, you know... I could probably, if I really thought about this over the course of like maybe an hour or two, like I could probably name like 8 things from like Mass Effect, like just from the Mass Effect series, because there's so many cool decisions you can make.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
This
that's
may
true.
Not be the most shocking, but I can say something that has had the most, and based on you know things that you do in the game, like it made more of an impact on me would be the entire bit of the second ending of Red Dead Redemption.
Like okay, yeah.
Like the real ending up into the last ending
part. Yeah, exactly.
You know that to cool. me that entire segment, which took me about a good 45 minutes to complete, was shocking. I think that's one of, to this day probably one of the best endings to any video really game cool. ever. And you got to play through the entire thing. Like it was amazing to me. Mm-hmm. And that right there, the entire ending segment for RDR was it for me.
Cool.
So not shocking per se, but really, really, it's like deep for me. It was really good.
What can I mention one thing from Mass Effect that kind of tripped me out?
Yeah.
You
can't.
Is it on the? I think it's the first game. The first game, like the first mission that you go to, you find this like you know this colony is being attacked,
right?
And you go into this small trailer, and there's like a couple that are like. Huddled up, like trying to hide from you know.
I know what you're talking.
You know,
about, yeah.
and the dude is freaking out. You know, I was playing my renegade character at the time, and dude's freaking out. And one of the choices you made, she just rears back and decks the motherfucker right in the face, man. And he just falls down, and she just goes, "Pull yourself together." And I was like, "Oh, that was awesome." You know, it was just, and it's not like it was that big of a deal, but. It is something that kind of surprised the hell out of me, you know.
I was surprised Travis didn't say Heavy Rain.
Yeah,
that was an obby. Yeah, that was an obby. But I mean, no, that is like there's like quite a few things in that game that's like whoa. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, cool.
I was just sending his questions to us, spread them out there.
Go for it.
Say, well, with Navishin, because this is kind of like a follow up. He said, "Did anyone play the Arrival DLC?"
Oh yeah, that's right.
Quickly,
that's right.
Anyone? I did not.
I did.
I haven't yet, but I will.
You did, Travis?
I did, yeah.
Cool. He doesn't ask to elaborate, so we'll move on. is Travis's dog barking the new police siren for the end of podcast?
Yes.
And three, fuck
partially.
Delta.
Fuck Delta.
fuck Delta. I love it.
Sigma Omega writes in his questions. He says, which is better, Pokemon or Digimon, and why? I'm going to go with Pokemon just because never even touched a Digimon.
Yeah, Pokemon, it sells more. So it's better, I guess.
And there are more people to play with. Not
yes.
that it
yes.
matters
right,
much.
Cool.
But...
Grab another email.
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. I thought I'd email in intentionally for this mailbag show, as I never have before, with a few thought-out random questions. Ooh.
Oh.
First, cool. Do you think that the PSN being down has affected Xperia Play sales in any way? Bearing in mind, more hardcore-ish PSP gamers probably bought these. That's fucking out.
It is, yeah. I don't think it was selling well in the first place.
No.
I think that sales for the Xperia Play were pretty bad.
No, did you see there was an article on Kotaku, and they actually came out and they said that about 4,000 to 5,000 PS1 games were purchased altogether. That's not good.
That's not good at all.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I was going on. It's like there really haven't been that many sold.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Another question from JG says, secondly, what game would you love to see on the NGP with direct integration with the PS3? Personally, I'd love to see a Left 4 Dead now that Valve can actually notice the PlayStation 3. Trading saves between both systems would be cool too. Ooh, that's a good fucking question.
You know what? I'm going to mention the one that I mentioned, and the worst part is that I haven't bought the game yet.
Right.
But this is one that I mentioned on a while back for PSP to PS2, and if they could actually do that, and that was Gran Turismo. I feel like that's a game that could easily be like grab the save and go and play, you know, play a racing game on the go and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So. That was the first one that came to my head when like they announced Gran Turismo for PSP.
That's one I'd have to say too. I can't really think of anything that off the top of my head anyway.
Yeah, well, there were supposed to be some cool things like between the PS3 and the PSP. Like I remember when Metal Gear Solid 4 was in development and they had let out that there was the Metal Gear Mark 4, the little robot that kind of follows you around and everything.
Right.
And when they were first building up, Hideo Kojima admitted that one of their first things they wanted to do was make that playable via the PSP. So someone can actually run around as the playing on their PSP as the Mark IV while the main character's on his sticks playing a Snake. And I was like, oh my God, that is like, to me, that was like mind blowing that they'd be able to do that in the game, but it never came into fruition. It just never happened. So I would like to see stuff like that. You know, yeah, trading saves would be cool, but one person playing on the PSP while the other person's playing the same exact game at the same time and they're kind of like playing co-op, I think that'd be really neat.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Little things
or
like
anything
that.
With creativity or creative stuff, like Little Big Planet would be pretty
right.
awesome.
That would
yeah.
be good.
Yeah.
Because you never know when like the inspiration to create something is going to
exactly.
hit. You know, it's like,
yeah.
that's why writers carry around pads all the time. It's like, oh, that's a great idea. And they write that down. So same idea. I think.
Yeah. I mean, is there any reason why the NGP couldn't be used as a second controller in a game for the like a PS3 or PS4 whenever it does come out? Is there a reason why that wouldn't work? There's going to be Bluetooth in the NGP.
Yeah, I think it could be. I think it could be. Because I mean, the only thing that you could argue is that it doesn't have the triggers, but you can use that back touchpad for the triggers.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So.
Yeah.
Did we just come up with a $1 million idea, Chris? I think we just did.
Probably. Either
Good
that
job.
Or Sony's already stole it.
Yeah, or that. Yeah. So anyway. And thirdly, if you were Sony, which make good offers would you give to the 77 million PSN users worldwide? I would give everyone cross game chat, PS2 software emulation, and the choice of two Blu-ray games on the store.
So we're doing hypothetical and things we can just pull out of our ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also two PSN
I'd give
games.
Them a house.
Yeah, then 6 months of PSN Plus, 2 months of DCUO. Oh wow, now they're just like making like giving us bad shit now. Bit of a stretch, but you got to stop people complaining. Their original plan they're doing right now, I don't have a problem with. I mean, they're gonna have a list of 5 or 6 games, and they're gonna tell us to pick two.
Yeah, and that's I heard that
I heard
too. Warhawk I'm hoping that
might be one of them.
I'm hoping that that stays true. That they have like 5 PS3 games that you can choose to, and like a couple and like a few PSP games you can choose to,
right?
That kind of thing. So
now, if they do that shit where they said, okay, everybody's gonna get a free month of PS Plus, but the games that they offer are PS Plus only, so when your 30-day PS Plus trial runs out, they lose that game. If they do that bullshit, they're gonna cause problems there, because that's kind of what I'm expecting to happen. You get it within PS Plus, and then when PS Plus runs out, that game's gone.
Yeah, if they do it that way, that's fucking lame.
But yeah, it'll be very, very. But I'm just
and Jeff talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago or last week. It
right.
is kind of ambiguous the way they talk about it, and they don't mm-hmm. really give you enough detail to know
no.
that it's like, okay, it's a month of PS Plus and this, or
yeah.
or it's a month of PS Plus where you can get this.
Yep.
You know, they don't really give you the enough detail to make that, you know, distinction.
Yeah.
So
I
don't know.
And you're talking distinctions. I think there needs to be a difference between if you're already a PlayStation Plus member. Well, you're going to give me an extra. I signed up for a year and 3 months already. You're going to give me an extra month? Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's severance in a way, but it's not like, okay, we already have a year and 3 months. Like,
All right, let's not bitching about this.
We've been bitching about this one
for a month.
Oh, really?
First things first, Sony, I just want the PSN to be up first, and then whatever they want to do to make it right with the consumers, go ahead and do it. I just want online up first and foremost. I don't care what they give us.
Apparently, developers have access to PSN now.
Well, that's good.
That's what I've heard. Okay, developers have access to PSN now. So it may be as early as next week. That would be cool.
That would be awesome.
Okay, this is great. Which is your favorite class in Brink?
The one where you don't have to play the game.
Yeah, it's called the power button. Press it. You'll feel better. Oh, that game was bad. Also, how do
you
feel?
It's getting weird reviews, man. They're all some like it's getting eights in some place and like fours in other. Like it really, it's all over.
Yeah,
it really is
all over the place. Like 1UP gave it like a D.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I mean, but then Game Trailers gave it like an 8.
Did they really? Yeah.
And they're usually pretty like.
Game trailers is pretty accurate usually.
So I don't know.
Yeah,
they're allowed one. We'll give them one this year. And he says, also, how do you feel about the game having only 8 maps at launch? All joking aside, your game, it lives and dies by multiplayer. 8, it's decent, but when a game is basically all multiplayer and nothing else is really worth it, I don't think 8's enough.
Yeah, my thing isn't about the maps. It's about the fact that the single player campaign is just those multiplayer
maps
and bots.
Yeah. It's not. It sucks.
I don't have a problem with the 8 maps at all, because especially the way that it's a team oriented multiplayer game that's class based. The best thing to do in those games is to actually know the maps like the back of your hand. I think at launch 8 isn't that bad, as long as they're supporting it. Like a month later, like 2 more maps come out or something like that, or whether it's charged or not. I don't think that's bad, because if you get all those 8 maps down pat, I think it actually makes the game more fun. Because that's the way. Like again, like Shadowrun's not the best game, but when you knew that game was freaking amazing. And I have a feeling Brink's kind of similar, because if you knew the maps and you know picked all the right classes with your team, that's when the game was at its best. So I think if you put out like 15 maps at launch, that's just going to be kind of too much. Because like something like Call of Duty or Halo, you don't really need to, you need to know the maps, but not as much as you need to do in a class-based team shooter, I don't think. But I don't know.
Brink sucks.
We're gonna play it.
All right, one more email, and how about a second voicemail? You have another voicemail, Chris?
Yeah, I do. I got one more.
Play it after this one. Right. Hi, Shino, Jeff, and insert name here. I've noticed lately that in a lot of games, they're starting to add player creation tools, most notably in Hunted the Demon's Forge, Infamous 2, and Super Meat Boy. Is there... Oh, player creation, I guess, in the levels, correct?
Right.
Yeah,
I think that's PC only, though.
That's PC only, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think this will be the next thing added to standard gameplay, much like multiplayer was a couple of years ago? Or do you think you guys use it... any of you guys use this feature, or do you just ignore it? I'm afraid in a game like Infamous 2, they're going to shorten the story mode and rely on the user-made content to carry the game. And that's from our buddy Biffsticks.
It's not going away. It's not going away.
Yeah, I don't think it's going away.
John.
Yeah, the whole play, create, share thing is here to stay, and it's going to only. I think it's only going to get better.
Yeah, and he asks if we use the feature or ignore it. I don't actually create anything, but I go out there and especially with Little Big Planet, I went out and played user generated levels.
Oh yeah,
like
for
crazy.
Sure.
And
that I'm and not going to do that I'll for the same thing. Infamous, though.
Yes, I will do that for.
Why? I don't understand what the big draw is for this, because isn't it going to be the same shit, like, all right, here's this part to start your mission, your mission's going to be kill a certain amount of guys in a certain time limit. Like, that's what I'm afraid it's going to be all
I guess
shit
it,
like
it
that.
It might be. I guess we'll find out. But I'm going to give it a shot.
This is also a first of its kind, though. Like, this could be really, really cool.
Yeah, this is an open-world platformer where they're allowing user-generated levels and missions. I mean, that is awesome, I think.
I think it's awesome
as long as it gives you different tools and the developers had like to actually do different missions. Like I'm just afraid it's going to be cookie cutter. Like basically they're all going to be the equivalent of side missions that were like in the original Infamous, which to me I thought were terrible.
I think they're wanting to rely on the community to try to make these like really awesome set piece battles and everything that would be like mind blowing.
That's cool.
I would like. Yeah.
But like when that was announced, I didn't care. I was like, I could have given two shits. I'm like, oh wow, user created content Infamous. Meh,
right.
Who cares?
I will definitely use that. Yeah. I will definitely play some of those levels.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be too scared about Infamous being shortened because of it. Because from what I understand, it hasn't been. I think that it's still going to probably clock in around 12 hours or so as far as the single player campaign goes.
Agreed. So agreed. He also mentioned Hunted the Demon's Forge, and I just found, I had claimed my stake for Hunted. I'm already getting that day one. There's no question about it. But I just found out maybe like a week ago that there is like dungeon creation tools that you can like share with your friends and have, you know, challenge your friends to like dungeons that you made and everything. I think that is awesome.
Yeah, I think that's cool too.
That's really, really cool. So I'm really looking forward to that kind of stuff and everything. So, yeah.
Man, good stuff.
Yeah. Vehement?
My turn?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hey guys, Captain Harlock here, and I just thought of a pretty good question that I'd like to ask baby girl Travis over there. Hey, is there a certain point in the year or in the part of the football season where you stop playing Madden just because, like me, I stopped playing Madden? I mean, I play it, like, a lot when I first get in crap, play it online with my buddies and stuff, but at a certain point, just stop playing it. Hey, so do you fall into the same trend? You buy it and play it a lot and then eventually just stop playing it? And if so, does that make it kind of not worth the $50 that we spend on it every year unless we buy it from a guy in the back of the van? Thanks. Later.
Actually, that's a very, very good question. Does it make it worth it? I think it does. I personally play Madden. It's the only game you're going to see me play for about 2 months, maybe a month and a half, but close to 2 months. That's the only thing you'll see me playing on my PlayStation after release. That being said, after that, I start to trickle off and everything. I don't play it nearly as much like post Super Bowl, but I'll play like here and there with friends and everything. A lot of tournaments, when they do go on, if I am going to enter one, a lot of tournaments I'll play in like February, sometimes even March. And then in between April and August when the new game releases, I rarely touch it. I'll probably play like once a month.
Yeah.
But I'm super hardcore in it. But from the moment one game, you know, from one iteration to another, I'll easily put 60, 70, maybe even more hours into the game. And yes, to me, that's well worth the $60. So.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Cool. I was going to say, that describes pretty much most of the games I play.
Yeah.
Play them for like a month, a couple of weeks, and then I never play them again.
Yeah.
But cool. And his questions.
Yeah.
JG, night two, he writes in and says, actually, he says, so Travis, any more of my fighters you hate? And you say Christy Montero, I'll challenge you to a rap-off.
Wait.
And he says, Hollywood Undead song. I don't know where that came. I guess it stemmed from something.
What characters?
He said, so Travis, any more of my fighters you hate? And then you say Christy Montero, I'll challenge you to a rap-off. Then in brackets, says Hollywood Undead song. I mean, I like Hollywood Undead, but I don't recognize that line.
I don't understand the question.
Neither do I. I'm guessing this must have confused. This was written like a while ago.
Right.
So I'm guessing it was,
I mean, I'm all down for a rap-off.
It's like, this is like April 12th. So anywho, sorry, Jake. Maybe you might want to let Travis know what you mean by that.
Yeah, but no, challenge accepted, though. I'll rap off. Come to end the fest, and we will have a rap battle.
Jeff, by the way, Jeff BTW, also known as Better Tomorrow.
Yep.
Have you ever accidentally thrown a tray in the garbage at a fast food restaurant? And if yes, did you leave it or retrieve it?
Oh, like every time. No.
I definitely have, and I never retrieve it. I just be like, oops, laugh a bit, and then leave.
I laugh and then I go.
I've never done that.
I've never done it.
Yeah, well, I have. And
I guess after working in fast food, you kind of learn to respect that a little bit more.
I worked in fast food, and
well, I still
couldn't give a shit.
You don't appreciate.
It's not like I do
shit.
It on purpose. I'm like, fuck it. The guy who does the garbage will find it in there and be like, it'll be
yeah,
on
and
him.
You know what they do with it? They throw that shit.
Yeah,
out.
Exactly.
Listen to Jeff, a little douchebag. The ditch digger will fucking get it up.
He has a follow-up question. He says, have you ever left your mark in wet cement?
No, actually. I tried once, but it had already hardened up to the point where I couldn't do it. So
That's what she said. Sorry.
But it was just a shoe print, and that was like a long time ago.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that.
I wonder if it's still there. Cool. All right, we'll hit up another question before we get back to these.
Cool.
Or another email.
So you have another one, or you want to?
No,
email?
We have more.
Okay,
I mean,
well, let me do an email then.
Email.
I don't know. Okay, this is from our homie, longtime listener, and I would say friend of the show, Sean Recupido.
What's up?
He says, with all the hardware iterations this gen, will you still be waiting in line to get the next gen consoles the day they come out? I would like to, but I just have to have the newer version. For example, I sold both my 360 and PS3 to get the slim versions of both this generation. All right, so basically he's asking, are we going to wait in line for the next console generations? So let's start with the Wii. Well, the NGP. NGP. Is that day one?
Well, let's not go through all of them, because that's going to just...
Well, no, just the two, like... the two that we know that are coming out right now.
Okay.
NGP. To me, that's day one.
I'm not going to wait in line for either. Pre-order that shit, and you don't have to worry about a line.
Well, that's true. Technically, it really depends on the price for the NGP. If it is what I think it's going to be, and it's around $250 or even $300, I will probably get it day one.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to wait in any line. If I want something day one, I'll pre-order it so I can just go in there the day it comes out and just pick it up.
Yeah, you don't need it at midnight. Like, how much you honestly going to play? Especially console, exactly. Like with the going into the Nintendo HD, like you're going to have to wait in line, then you have to go home and set it up, and then what are you going to do, play for a half hour?
Exactly. So. Unless I had no work the next day, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, day one that bitch, but pre-order it, I guess.
Yep.
And I'm down for the Wii console, man. Like, so far, so good. Like, now, when they're saying it might be like $400, then we're going to have a conversation. Then we're going down to, okay, what games are coming out day one? Because that's a lot of money. Especially for
Nintendo. I don't think they
can
realistically sell it for $400. It's not going to look that much better.
They're not going to. No, it won't.
Yeah?
No, yeah.
Cool.
Well, especially when people are just, all the developers are just saying, hey, we're going to port shit over to it. All right, what's next?
Up next is our buddy Kung Fu Gold Chain. He says, it's been a while since I've written in. Life is a bitch sometimes. Anyway, Jeff, what is the deal with your clicking on the mic? Does your tongue hit it every time you talk? Maybe I just got sensitive ears. Anyway, I just thought I'd like to fuck with you for a little bit.
Basically comes down to the mute button, because this mic is extremely sensitive. Like, as you can tell, you can hear sirens. You can hear, like, even if Tanya almost whispers, if she's on the couch, you can hear it. So I just basically, if I'm not talking or I know I'm not going to comment for a little bit, I'll click the mute button. So that's probably the clicking I'm guessing you're hearing.
Yes, that is what it is. Yeah. We're working on getting Jeff a mixer and a mic.
Exactly.
And everything, so that'll be coming
soon.
A
big boy mic.
Big boy mic. Nice. Word. Also, Kung Fu Gold Chain continues. He says, I had an interesting question pop up, and I felt it might provide for a decent discussion. What are the two games that you guys have most anticipated? Mine was Defender. Oh, wait, real quick. What was the two games that you guys have most anticipated? Mine was Defender for the 2600. I was young as hell at the time, but still remember me and my brother excited as hell when we paid $40 for it. Hard as hell, but totally worth it. The other was Double Dragon on the NES. That game was the bomb, and it was eventually the demise of my NES, and it doesn't react well to controllers hitting it. Fuck that fourth level with the bricks that pop out and kick your ass at the beginning of the damn... that damn machine gun. Those of you who played it will know what I'm talking about. As a second part, what is a game that hasn't been announced yet that you guys would like to see? He says his answer for the second part is a Superman game that hits it out of the park. Now, can we not have a great Superman game? I had fun in Superman Returns with the flying mechanic, so somebody should be able to nail that down. But my vote goes to Rockstar. If anybody can pull off a sandbox Superman game, it would probably be them. Peace out, Skittle Nuts. Love Kung Fu Go Chain.
Skittle Nuts. anticipated game.
Oh, man. I know for the Genesis... two pop out of my head, like right away. Golden Axe was like, I couldn't wait for that game to come out. And the first Mortal Kombat, because that was like the first game that actually had like a release date.
God damn it, Jeff!
Yeah, Mortal Monday. It was like September 9th or something like that, or sometime in September. It was freaking awesome. And when I think I've told the story probably a billion times, when I pre-ordered it at a Microplay here, and they said they were getting it early, like a couple weeks early, and I called them literally every single day. Yeah, that was tough. That was hard to deal with.
Yeah, today must be the day of everybody taking my answers, because yes, Mortal Kombat was the game for me when I was younger. It was the game. I had my blood code all researched out, man. I had it all. I was ready to pop that fucker in that black console. I was so excited. I love that game so much.
I can't think of anything. I seriously can't.
No
think
game
of
you're like totally hyped up for. You're just like, I can't wait till this comes out. Like losing sleep, like it's Christmas, like the day before. I don't really have them as much now, but there's some games that I'm just like, oh, I can't fucking wait.
I'm like that more now than anything.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm trying to think of something that that like even recently that. Yeah, I got nothing.
Can't think of one right now?
No, I can't. God, that drives me nuts, though.
All right, we'll hit up into this question while you think.
All right.
With that. Oh, I know, he still had more questions.
He had more, yeah. He says,
what's a game that hasn't been announced yet that you're hyped for?
That you would like to see? I've answered this one before. Phantasy Star V? Proper,
yeah, I'm going to stick with a Strider, some kind of Strider remake or something.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of one that's realistic, though. Like, it's something that I know they've got to be making a sequel to that they just haven't announced yet.
I wouldn't mind seeing another. I know I don't really talk about this that much.
Especially when it's that. What? Yeah.
I know that this. I don't really talk about this much, but I would like to see another Assault Suit Lanos. That was a good series.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it a lot, yeah.
I could possibly see that, maybe.
I would
an Xbox Live or something, or PSN.
That would be cool.
I would like a next gen, but like top down, like official Zelda.
Okay, yeah,
yeah,
that'd be cool. That's true.
I'd go with a actually Bayonetta 2. I think
if
that's a good one.
That'd be awesome. Cool. Was that all his questions?
That's a fucking feature right there.
For real.
We could talk about that one for a minute.
For a minute. All right. Well, Chris is thinking. Let's hit up some minus questions.
Do it, Skittle Nuts.
Kansas 1073 writes in again and says, is Glenn going to take a permanent spot on the regular podcast? quick answer would be, I guess, no. you look at the main three, I guess, right here. But of course, when people can't make it, whether it be myself, Chris,
we
Travis,
now have a plethora of people
we have a bunch of people that fit in. But,
A plethora.
Did you say you have a plethora?
The main go-tos are usually like, you know, Jason, Glenn, Nico kind of thing. So, and we have a little bit of news at the end of the show, too. We'll probably clear some things up. So that's that's the answer to that one. Jack Bauer, or the Dark Bauer on Twitter, good friend of ours. He says, Have you ever dropped your phone on your face, like i.e. holding it over your face in bed, etc.?
No.
No.
Are you serious? I totally have. You guys have never done that.
No.
No. No.
Oh my god.
Because I don't actually hold it like over my face. I hold it like over my chest and I'm looking at it at an angle.
Really? Okay, yeah. This is something that's like, I remember back in the day, you know, you like meet a girl or something and you talk to her on the phone forever. And sometimes I'd like hold it up and be like, I don't know if she's saying something like boring I don't want to listen to. So I'd hold the phone up and whatever. And just would sometimes just slip and right on my face.
Really?
I've probably done it.
I don't get it. Like, what are you like? Do you sleep upside down like fucking Michael Keaton and Batman or something?
No, just laying down, dude. No. Or even just like, okay, say you're holding your phone now. Say you're holding your phone now. Like you're laying in bed and you're holding up your iPhone or your friggin' Droid and you're trying to put something in and it slips out of your hands and drops in your face. I've never done that, but I could totally see that happening. Tanya just said it just happened to her.
The one thing that I could see is if I was like holding it like right above my head and I fell asleep.
Oh, okay, yeah. And then
That's probably the most likely for me, because if I'm actually laying down messing with my phone, it's probably right before I go to bed.
All right.
So.
All right, well, you guys suck. And,
I know.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Al Fighter doesn't have a question. He just said cheese fries just had sex with his mouth. So
nice. There you go.
Good for the cheese fries.
Yeah, hell yeah. Sounds cheese fire sounds awesome right now, though, by the way.
They do.
There's Steak and Shake down the street.
Oh.
Anyway, they're open 24 hours. All right, go on.
Email?
Yeah.
Let's do it. I'm out of voicemails. Let's keep going.
Hey, guys. Zeke here. Your question of the week reminded me of something. When I was a kid, I had two bestest friends. We were inseparable. Mario, Link, and I would hang out in my basement after school doing all kinds of stuff, mostly obsessing about princesses, to be honest. Awesome. Ah, the adventures we had. But then something happened. Link just disappeared, and Mario got weird. His personality was always kind of two-dimensional, but he totally changed when he started using polygons. I didn't even recognize him after a while, and the intervention failed miserably. He even got Link hooked.
Oh, no.
They handled their addiction for a couple of years before the shaking began. After that, they were totally uncontrollable. Nowadays, I see them around every once in a while, usually pushing waggle on kids or seniors. It's so sad, and it makes my heart bleed a little bit. Love Zeke.
Thanks, Zeke.
That was very nice.
That
put,
was
Zeke.
Very creative. That, dude. Was, very awesome. Nice. That was really good.
I love that. That's so good.
What was the question of the week for that for?
That wasn't a question of the week. That he sent that for the mailbag.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says
that
your question
good.
Of the week reminded me of something.
So yeah, that wasn't a throwback. That was oh, okay. Brand spanking, man.
Cool. That was funny.
And here's another one here from Eric McCoins. He says, "Sup, fellas." He says, "Eric McCoins is up in this bitch with a great." Oh, I get it.
Free
in,
game you should
up,
try.
Up in this bitch. I get it. Okay, there it is. Very nice. With the free game you should try.
This is a pretty old one. We kind of missed it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I'm
yeah.
a fairly new listener and a huge Call of Duty fan like Travis, and I think you will all appreciate an epic parody game called Duty Calls made by Boltstorm.
Yeah. Yeah,
the game's
yeah.
free to play and clocks in at about 700 megs. The feature list includes Duty Vision, trademarked, slows down the action so you can unload a storm of bullets, immersive dialogue from the front lines, cold calculated realism, killing animations, motion captured from real actors. True life reloading system allows for mistakes in putting the cartridge in the gun. Iconic sound effects. Thwart an enemy threat that could topple the country and possibly the world. And have significant and historically accurate props. And he gave us links and everything to Duty Calls.
I didn't realize that it was Duty Calls. Actually a game that you could download.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The
yeah, I didn't know that
made,
either,
yeah.
actually.
I did not know that. I thought it was just, I just thought it was that video. I thought it was that video that was a joke, and that was it.
No, that was, in fact, a thing.
That's hot. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's the hotness. Hey, guys, got my email for your question of the week here. So without further ado.
This is from last week, I believe.
Okay, great, great. First of all, thanks go out to Novishin for hooking us up with a great topic. I have a lot of different experiences with the mini consoles over the years, so rather than write a book about one or two, I'm going to list all the consoles in just a sentence or so about them. I think that would be more interesting for you guys.
That's so going to be the book instead.
There you go. So what I'm going to do is list the system, followed by the first game and I bought, and then the game that made it worth it. And going to the NES, Final Fantasy, Dragon Warrior. Final Fantasy 1 was the first game I saved my own allowance, birthday money, etc. to purchase. It was recommended to me by a friend who knew how much I love Dragon Warrior. I've been an RPG nut ever since. And the SNES, he got it for A Link to the Past. Nice. And then also he got Mario Kart. These two games are the first games I bought with my Christmas and birthday money, and they immediately made it worth it. I originally had a SNES when it first came out, but due to the lack of decent games, I told my parents I didn't want it anymore and to return it. Months later, I cried for another SNES, realizing that I made a horrible, horrible mistake. I got one for my birthday with Final Fight. Ooh.
Cool.
PS1, Tekken. When I first got to play Tekken at my friend's house for the first time, I knew I had to have it. After 6 months of savings, I got my $300 PS1, Tekken, and a memory card, and the second controller had to wait.
Understandable.
The N64, he got Mario, and I got my N64 at launch with Mario, and it was great. However, I quickly grew bored with it, and other than renting games, I never felt like the 64 was a very good purchase.
Huh.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, it was not their best system.
No, it wasn't. The Dreamcast. Dreamcast. Sonic Adventure and Soul Reaver and PSO.
Yeah!
Got his Dreamcast at launch with Sonic Adventure, but it wasn't until he played Soul Reaver and PSO that he realized how strong and amazing this console was. Rest in peace.
No.
Pour one out for the homie.
Pour it out. Okay. PS2, hell yeah, Tekken Tag Tournament. Since I was already playing Tekken Tag competitively before PS2 came out in America, this was a no-brainer. Launch day couldn't come fast enough, and waiting in line overnight was definitely worth it.
Oh, wow.
Fucking right. I would have waited in line for Tekken Bowl. Without a doubt.
That was fun, man.
Yeah,
to bowling in that game.
Yeah, it was I played that more than anything. The Xbox, Jeff. Halo Combat Evolved. A year or so after the Xbox came out, I finally got to play Halo for the first time. I immediately traded in and sold a lot of my rare SNES games to get an Xbox, Halo, and a few controllers. We had Halo night many, many, many times a week. And the GameCube, you got Super Monkey Ball and the Resident Evil remakes. I got Super Monkey Ball, Wave Race, and something else at launch, but it just didn't hold my attention. I sold my GameCube, but when Resident Evil Remake was released, I quickly bought another and the game. Xbox 360 Project Gotham Racing. He was a manager of a Game Crazy store when the 360 came out. Wasn't completely sold in the system, but the following spring, he used his tax return to pick up a console with Dead or Alive 4 and Project Gotham 3. I love Project Gotham to death and play the crap out of it, getting all 900 achievement points. Later, the other 100 points were released with free DLC, but he had already moved on. And for the PS3, Tekken 5, and Metal Gear Solid 4, he did get an early model of the PS3, but only when Game Crazy had a trade-in deal where they only had to pay $300 for it. He bought it after Tekken 5, Dark Resurrection was released on the PSN, but because he was only playing that competitively, other than that, being an extremely expensive Tekken machine, it wasn't until he bought Metal Gear Solid 4 that he realized how incredibly powerful the system could become. And then finally, the Wii, Super Mario Galaxy, and Muramasa. I didn't buy a Wii until the day Super Mario Galaxy released. For some reason, though, my attention span for the game was very short, and soon my Wii began collecting dust. Something it does continue to do to this day. However, eventually one day, a game called Muramasa Demon Blade would be released, and that game alone was worth picking up a Wii. Even if you buy it, play it, and sell the Wii, I think it's totally worth it. Muramasa is an incredibly gorgeous game with a great soundtrack and addicting gameplay.
Agreed.
That sums everything up. Hopefully it wasn't too long for you guys, but as always, I loved writing in for your show. Keep up the fantastic job. See you at the strike. Nate.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. So, real quick, before we move on, he mentioned Project Gotham Racing. Does anybody remember when it was called Metropolis Street Racer?
Yes,
yeah,
I do remember.
It was on the Dreamcast, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it actually ever come out? Yeah, did it come out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it came out. I have it.
Okay, yeah. I remember looking forward to that game. I was like, the graphics are so photorealistic. It looked awesome. But I don't think I actually ever played it on Dreamcast.
It was good. It was a good game.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Animated fan up in this piece.
What's up?
Yeah, he's going to add on to Navishin's, Nate add to Navishin's question of the week. He says, first up is the PS1. The first game I bought for the PS1 is NBA Jam Tournament Edition with its larger-than-normal DVD box case. The PS, I remember those.
Jeez. I hated them.
Yeah,
those are the leftover Saturn cases.
Yeah, exactly.
I had some games that I had in those cases, and I would actually, when they came out in the regular jewel cases, I returned them and got the regular jewel cases.
Nice. And I love this next comment. He says the other PlayStation 1 game that made the system worth it for him, Legacy of Kain: Soul Reaver. He says
that's the games mentioned twice, one for PS1, one for Dreamcast.
Yeah. I still consider that to be one of my favorite games of all time, and I have to agree with Animated. That game is fantastic.
I have never played that game.
It's really good.
Oh, you got to play it. It's really good.
Is it on PSN? It's on PSN.
I think it is on PSN, but I'm pretty sure they're doing a PSN, like Xbox Live Arcade re-release of it.
Okay,
I think
that
I remember reading that somewhere.
If they do that, that'll
I
be
could
the,
be wrong, though.
That'll be the version to get because there's still terrible load times in the PSN version. The load times are still there.
If you can get the Dreamcast version, the Dreamcast version is the best version of it.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. Next, the PlayStation 2. His first purchase for that system is Smuggler's Run, since it was a launch title for the PS2. The first game that made the PS2 totally worth it was Metal Gear Solid 2: Sons of Liberty.
What was that really fucking? The bouncer. Oh god.
Oh, the bouncer.
Such a horrible game.
And do you know I played the shit out of that game, dog? I played the shit out of it.
Got to justify that purchase, baby.
Got to. Man. As for the PS3, the first purchase was Resistance Fall of Man and Call of Duty 3 because I bought them both on the same day, 2 weeks before the PS3 launched. The game that made the PS3 worth owning was Metal Gear Solid 4: Guns of the Patriots. If someone were to ask what was my favorite game of all time, Metal Gear 4 would be my answer.
Wow. Cool.
Moving on to the Wii, the first games that I bought at the same time for that system were Super Mario Galaxy and Zelda Twilight Princess. The game that made it worth owning it was Super Smash Bros. Brawl, since I play that a lot with my friends all the time.
Smash Bros. Brawl, the game that got me Darksiders for free.
There you go. And now for the Xbox 360, my first purchase and first game that made the system worth it for me is the same. BioShock. I really enjoyed the game overall, but I had a one gameplay issue that I didn't like, and was happy to see that it was fixed in BioShock 2. The last console I want to mention is the Dreamcast. Similarly, through to the Xbox 360, the game I bought the system for and made worth, and also it made it worth owning, was Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I played this game so much in the arcade that I wanted to own it so I could play it at home with my friends. This was made easier after a friend of mine gave me an arcade stick for the Dreamcast. Now I'll move on to portable systems that I own. For the PSP, the first purchase was Wipeout Pure, and the game that made the system worth owning was God of War Chains of Olympus. Lastly, the DS, the first game I bought was Metroid Prime Hunters, and the first game I bought that made this system worth owning was Osu Tatakai Ouden. And this is the music rhythm game from Japan that Elite Beat Agents is based off of.
Elite Beat Agents was a fun game. That was an awesome game.
A very good game.
Well, guys, all those systems that I currently own, but before I end my email, I wanted to ask you guys a question. What type of game or mechanic in a game are you a sucker for? I realized that after I added up the amount of hours that I put into Castlevania Harmony of Despair, that I am a huge sucker for grinding in action, adventure, etc., and especially if they have RPG elements. As always, thanks for the great show and keep up the top-notch podcasting. Sorry for the long email. Love, Animated Fan.
Thanks, what mechanics are we suckers for? He said the grinding action for RPG elements. For me, it's the grinding for loot.
Loot,
like PSO and stuff, man. That loot, that's good stuff.
Especially for the Dark Alliance games as well, where you're always picking. More recently with Diablo 3 is doing it and everything. But help me.
Torchlight.
There it is. Bam. That's why I keep you guys around. Torchlight, stuff like that. No, you take it and like it. Take it and like it, Papa Bear.
So yes, Glenn will be a permanent.
So Glenn will be on the podcast more often next week. Oh man. All right, what else?
Let's see. Hey guys, it's Strider 2.
Actually, right, wait, answer that question, Jeff. Jerk faces.
Yeah, what's your
I don't have one that's mine is anything that has you traversing a landscape or a level pretty quickly, whether that be by jumping off the walls, running on the walls, or in Portal, when you do the crazy launches that launch you through a ramp and you fly through the air, that kind of stuff. I don't know, swinging on poles or, I guess I have an inner stripper in me or something. Yeah. Or Castlevania whips out, it whips something and you swing. Stuff that where you can even Parker stuff like Mirror's Edge, something like that. Love those type of stuff in games. I love that shit. I love replaying levels with crazy stuff like that. And Chris says, "Bless you," by the way. Tanya, she's not listening.
Cool. Yeah.
That's all.
And that's one of the reasons I love Infamous so much, is just because of the traversal and stuff like that.
Exactly. Once you get those powers, rail powers
it's so satisfying to do that kind of shit, you know?
Exactly. That's why I think I love Infamous so much more than other open world games. And that actually is my favorite part of Assassin's Creed, is just doing the whole Parker type stuff.
It's that is badass. One thing that if I were to say, because I think the game is close to, I mean, not flawless, but close to one of the most complete games is Batman Arkham Asylum, but I feel like the traversal, if they could have made something to make the traversal a little more, just streamline that a little bit, I think that would have been
if the traversal would have had, if you would have had more freedom, I think that would have been perfect. I'm really hoping that they do that with Arkham City, that they give you more freedom of how to use the different tools and stuff he's got.
Right. Because
that would be just ideal for that type of game.
And in terms of traversal, Arkham City is supposed to have more of a fluid, go from building top to building top to your next.
Yeah.
It's supposed to have that as well. So that's actually refreshing for me. That's going to be one of the biggest additions that I'm looking forward to for that.
Cool. Excellent.
Cool. Hey guys, it's Strider 2K99 again. It's been a while. Hopefully this makes it into the mailbag episode. You guys don't mind reading this long email. Sorry for the lateness. The games he bought for the system and the game that made it worth it. PS1. He can remember the first Resident Evil, and it was so scary for him at the time. I couldn't even play it past the first zombie. The game that made the PS1 really worth it was Final Fantasy VII. N64, first game was Super Mario 64, and honestly, I felt that the game alone made the N64 worth it. I remember seeing the promo videotape in that Nintendo Power sent out in the mail back in the day that hyped the hell out of the N64, and seeing Mario 64 at the time and how good it looked and played in 3D blew my young mind. For the Dreamcast, sorry, never bought one at the time. I wouldn't get a Dreamcast. I wouldn't get a Dreamcast until much later, and totally missed the boat on the release. First PS2 games were Dead or Alive 2, Hardcore, and Tekken Tag Tournament around launch time. I was on a 3D fighting game kick at the time, and these two games filled that niche nicely. For the GameCube, I didn't actually get my own GameCube until 2004, almost 3 years after its initial release. My first game was Metroid Prime, as it was part of the Metroid Prime GameCube bundle that I bought. The game that made the GameCube worth it was, of course, Resident Evil 4. I mean, who didn't see that coming? It completely revamped the Resident Evil franchise, and now with iconic over-the-shoulder view, amazing graphics for the time, and bigger emphasis on action. For the Xbox, I also didn't buy the original Xbox until 2005, but by then it was much cheaper and a large number of awesome games had released. So the first games he purchased were Halo, Halo 2, Ninja Gaiden, Splinter Cell, and KOTOR. But of course, what's the first game you play when you get an original Xbox? Obviously, you had to play Halo. But the game that made owning an Xbox worth it for me was Ninja Gaiden. I love my 3D action games, and I think Ninja Gaiden and its sequels and upgrades are still one of the best, if not the best, out there. Wow, he's got a lot left.
He liked Dante for PS2. I just got to put that one real quickly in there to be props. His one that made PS2 worth it was Devil May Cry, and I got to agree. Fucking badass. Anyway, 360.
Just a year later, found a decent deal on the Xbox 360 20-gig console, and the first two games that I had to buy were, of course, Dead Rising and Gears of War. Being the Capcom fanboy that I am, I had to play Dead Rising first. These two games alone made buying the 360 totally worth it. Unfortunately, I didn't have an HDTV at the time, and you only relied on the 480i SDTV with component inputs. Luckily, I have good eyes and was able to read Dead Rising small text without too much trouble.
Yeah, I remember
that was quite the scandal back then.
Yes, it was.
The PS3 first game I bought with the PS3 was, of course, Resistance Fall of Man. However, I didn't expect to be blown away until Metal Gear Solid 4, but the game that really caught me by surprise and blew me away was, before Metal Gear Solid 4, was, of course, Uncharted Drake's Fortune. Hell, you can easily argue that the original Uncharted is a more technically impressive game than Metal Gear Solid 4, which wouldn't come out for another 7 months. We'd have to have a discussion about that.
I probably agree with him.
Really?
Yeah, overall, I think Uncharted's a better looking game. Yeah, I think Metal Gear has great character models and kind of good specialized, but I don't think the textures and like the actual environments are that good at all. I think they're kind of
I think you need to play Metal Gear Solid 4 again, buddy.
I think you need to play it again.
I think it's a toss-up. I personally think that Uncharted has it from an artistic standpoint.
And
Metal Gear Solid in a lot of cases has it from a technical standpoint, but it's really hard to say.
It is hard to say. I mean, honestly, if I were to give Uncharted 1 any leg up over Metal Gear, I would say that the facial capturing is better, but anything else wise, I mean, I think voice acting, they're on par with each other. I think just basic gameplay, graphics, I don't know. Because there are some really cool looking things in Uncharted. I don't know. I'm with Chris. It's a toss up, but I don't think anyone's like superior over the other in terms of what's worth it on the system. Anyway, regardless, PSP, the first games that I bought with the PSP were Mega Man, Maverick Hunter X, and Mega Man Powered Up. Maverick Hunter X was the first one I played since I haven't played the original Mega Man X back in the 16-bit days, and I enjoyed it immensely. I think these two games alone made the PSP totally worth it for me.
Those are good. Those are good ones.
And for the DS, I'm sure Chris will really appreciate this, but the first game that I played on my DS was Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow.
Good game.
But the game that made me really glad I owned the DS was, shockingly enough, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. After all, this was simply a port of a GBA game that didn't really need to be on the DS, but the simple gameplay, engrossing story, and memorable characters make this one of my favorite new series. I have since continued to buy the subsequent games, hoping Capcom would continue to translate the series. Again, sorry for the long email. Hope you guys have a great day. Keep up the great work. And that's basically all we have left for the emails. I do have to comment though on those last two that kind of were throwbacks from last week for the GameCube players. I gotta say I'm disappointed that Eternal Darkness wasn't on either of those lists.
Yeah,
to me, that was the one game. That and the Resident Evil remakes were the two games that made the GameCube worth owning. Because I agree with you guys. I regret my Nintendo 64 purchase. I just did not think of any game that was I was completely sold on that system. The GameCube for me was a huge step up. And because there were so many games, I enjoyed Mario Sunshine more than Mario 64, believe it or not. Like the Smash Brother games were introduced to us on that system. You know, the remakes for Resident Evil.
Smash Brothers came out on N64.
Was it on N64?
Yeah. The
really?
First one was. Mm-hmm.
The
yeah.
first one was on there. I the did very not first
one. Was Melee, on Melee was the one that was on GameCube.
Okay, yeah, the Melee, that was my first one, so I thought that was the very first one at all. I mean, how did it play? Because, I mean, I
it played exactly
pretty
the
much
same.
The same.
Really?
Yeah,
exactly the same.
It just wasn't as many characters, and it was a little bit, of course, blockier looking and blurrier, because that's what the N64 was all about. But
right,
yeah,
right.
It was still good. Like, it was still a great game.
Right. Huh. I didn't know that. Well, there yeah. you go. Yeah. You learn something every day.
You do.
Right. Yeah, but like still, Eternal Darkness for the win.
Cool. Let's learn some more shit with some more honest questions. Wrap things up. Better tomorrow again. He says, here's a tip, guys. Don't be a dumbass and put burgers covered in foil wrappers in the microwave, unless you like counterfires. All right. So, kids out there, do not put burgers wrapped in foil in the microwave.
How about this? Don't put foil in the fucking microwave.
Don't put any metal in the fucking microwave.
Yeah, for real. Travis writes in, and it's Travis. He says, do you guys miss me as much as I miss all you douches? And he spelled douches D-O-O-S-H-E-S.
That's how you spell it, right?
Of course we missed you, buddy. All right, moving on to the next question.
I got to say, that was the worst month ever.
I believe,
God,
man.
Damn,
I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. I would have been pretty pissed that you missed like four
rough.
Shows or something.
Yeah,
like,
four and they were all really good shows that I was looking forward to. And the Portal special. So.
Yeah, that's something in common. Great shows, and what did they all have in common? Sorry, you make it so easy, man. You just throw those up there. You just gotta go up there and slam them down.
It's like they're on a tee.
You get it? Tee?
Dark Bauer, he writes in again and says, have you ever scared yourself with your own shadow?
No.
I haven't with my shadow, no. But I have had stuff like on me that has scared me. Like if there's like a strap on, like if I'm wearing like a bag or something, and I turn fast and it like it's caught in my eye, I see it. I can be like,
he says strap on.
I've scared myself if there's a strap on.
And the
strap
on
so.
Is scared. Biff Sticks. He says, did you ever have a favorite stuffed animal or blanket growing up?
I had a blanket when I was a kid.
I didn't have a blanket. Chris, did you have anything?
No, I didn't, actually.
I had some stuffed animals. I don't think I really had a favorite one, though. Not that I can think of. So, no. Well, Travis had his blankie, and...
I have a blankie, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Plank fan.
Okay. Yeah.
Man, a lot of these questions,
says,
too.
When you guys were kids, where did you see technology going in the future? Like, hover cars, voice-activated, tilt-to-host, etc.
Can I have a little story.
Everyone's
going to
say
that
one, for sure, but... Go for it.
Me and one of my buddies who I still keep in contact with today, he was actually in my wedding, named Jesse. We lived on the same street, lived across the street from each other.
Hi, Jesse.
And we had, we both had computers at the time, and computers, like the computer I had, I think was like a old school, like 386, you know, had like a 40 megabyte hard drive and shit like that. And, and we were talking to one day, and it's like, man, could you imagine having a gig of space? Oh, we could probably have one hard drive and run a wire to both computers and store all of our shit on it. And now it's like one gig is like, what? It's like, you can't put anything on that. It's like, I could fit like three songs. Yeah. It's hard to believe how quickly it moved. Cause I mean, that really, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that really wasn't that long ago. And now we have drives in the terabytes that are, you know, less than $100.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's crazy how quickly technology moved.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I definitely thought hoverboards would be real after seeing friggin' Back
yeah,
to Future
everything.
2.
God damn, it's another thing you stole from me.
And I totally thought virtual reality was going to be bigger. I thought that was going to be a big thing for video gaming. But that was kind of
yeah, especially because like, and it's funny too because like the first time I ever experienced that was at Dave and Buster's. They had like a virtual reality type like game that you know you put the goggles on and you had a gun that had like a little joystick on it that allowed you to move forward and everything, and you looked around, you found your friends, and you shot them. And they don't have it anything even near like that anymore.
No, so, that fell off the planet, basically. Yeah, fell off the edge of the world.
It's really
I mean, the
really
Genesis weird. Had a – they had a virtual reality headset that was supposed to be coming out, and that never saw the light of day.
Yeah.
But anything for you, Travis, that I didn't steal?
No, virtual reality was actually a big thing because, like, same deal, you know, what Chris said, but, like, down on the Gulf Coast, especially in Louisiana and Mississippi, like, during the casino boom, all the casinos had, like, virtual reality, like, system. I guess people made their own virtual reality things. And I remember the one I played was, like, a medieval game, and you actually, like, stood in this, like, octagon-shaped, like, you were given, like, 3 by 3 feet, and it was, like, an octagon railing around it and everything.
Yeah,
so, like, you put the headset on, you had to spin around,
watch
and you would have to,
bump
like,
into it.
Yeah, well, you had to lean forward on the thing, and that would let you know like which way you're walking and everything. That would let the game know which way you're headed, and there were like skeletons coming from everywhere. You literally lasted like 3 minutes, and the
lag was terrible.
And it cost $15 to try.
Yeah,
and you're playing for 3 minutes, and you die, and it's gone. You're
done. And the frame rate of it being really bad and it was
terrible.
Cool.
So.
Jack Bauer, just again, not a question. He writes in and says, peanut butter sucks.
Oh, eat a dick, Jack.
But luckily, Oats, AOTS, he wrote in and said, shut your fucking mouth.
Oh, fucking Oats.
I love our listeners. I really do.
And we got one more to end this off. Again, from the Dark Bauer. Mr. Jack himself says, when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you check on the internets?
Porn.
Now?
That's usually the last thing I check.
right now, the first thing I check is my email, and it's usually on my phone.
Yeah,
nice.
Twitter for me.
Twitter's mine now because it's just so easy. Just like, Twitter, cool, awesome. And then it's usually a sports page I go to read up on my sporting articles, mainly basketball.
And in video game stuff for me, like Kotaku, Joystick, Destructoid.
I don't do that. I feel bad because for some reason at work, this is like work stuff. If I have it on a sports thing or like main news, I feel like my manager won't be so like, you have to get off the internet. Where I feel if she catches me like on video game stuff, she'll be faster to be like, what are you watching or what do you want?
Oh, without a doubt.
I wait for the gaming stuff to be a little bit, you know, when she goes on break or later in the afternoon where, you know, got some shit done. But I am on fucking VGEvil. Like, that's one of the first things, or Retroids, that I load up when I'm sitting at my desk.
You know what I love? I love the fact that VGEvil was blocked at my office, but Retroids is not.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Love it.
Cool.
Until they catch you on that shit all the time on the shop box, fucking around with Torgo, and then you're going to fucking get booted off of there by work.
Booted off there. All right, well, that's all
no,
the
that's
questions,
Jeff,
man.
Not me, dude. I don't fuck with Torgo on the chat box.
I haven't fucked with Torgo on the chat box in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a whole day, right?
Yeah. We were so doing it last night.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, shit. Okay, so was that it?
That's all the end of questions, man.
Oh, wow. All
good
right.
Good stuff, guys.
Cool. Like, well, thank you guys for all your emails. Very much appreciate it. So now, an hour and 15 minutes after we started reading emails, let's do some new releases.
Oh, my God. It's been so long.
Okay. There's not a whole lot coming out next week. I guess the game most people will be excited for is L.A. Noir, which is for PS3 and Xbox 360. You know, it's like Rockstar's latest whatever. yeah, whatever. Don't care. All right, so there's a PC game that's coming out. Looks kind of interesting. It's the Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings.
Witcher 2.
So, yeah, that should be pretty good. The first Witcher I hear is fantastic. So there
Pistol
you go
Pete.
There. And Xbox Live Arcade is getting Sega Rally Online Arcade, which
Pete
seems
Nolan
to be some sort of a mishmash of various Sega Rally games all sort of thrown together with whatever the last engine was using.
Peter Morgan.
Yeah, that's apparently coming out on PSN as well, but, you know, probably won't. And, yeah, that'll do it.
Big Pete.
Thanks,
cool.
Pete.
Thank you, Pete. Let's see here.
That Sega Rally game sounds kind of cool. I like Sega
Rally. I love Sega Rally.
Yeah, the old school Sega Rallies were pretty fun.
Yeah, back on Dreamcast, I loved that game. PS3 is also getting apparently a Fantastic Four pinball table for Marvel Pinball, and so is 360. 360 is also getting the first Templar, and apparently the first DLC pack, I think it's the first one, for New Vegas, called Honest Hearts, is coming out next week. So that is your new release list. Pick of the week.
L.A. Noir.
Man, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to have to go with L.A. Noir because, like, I'm not a big fan of Rockstar games. And like I mentioned, actually off there, I played a little bit of L.A. Noir, like, the other day. And I literally played for, like, 20 minutes, and I was like, it still feels like Grand Theft Auto. But some of these early reviews say it's not like it at all, and it's actually really, really good. So I might have to go with L.A. Noir.
It might
suck me in like every fucking Rockstar game does, but only a couple have been able to hold my attention.
It'll suck you in for like an hour and a half, and then you'll be done.
Or it could be like Red Dead, where I'll play the whole damn thing and love it.
Oh, there you go.
Who knows?
Just to be different, Witcher 2.
Cool.
It is a awesome
Witcher 1
game,
is good.
So.
I couldn't get into it. It's not my thing, but it is really good.
I keep hearing that. I've got it sitting on my shelf. I need to install it and play the damn game. All right. So that is your new release list. We did emails already, so it is time for question of the week.
Yeah.
I think we're going with Travis's suggestion this week. Travis, cool. you want to throw that out there?
Which one are we doing? Because I gave you two.
The one that you didn't want to give us that we actually thought was good.
Go ahead and add it.
Basically, comes down to is with the Wii 2 just on the horizon, probably coming out later this year, early next year, or whenever the hell they decide to release it. Is there a point to Sony or Microsoft announcing or even bringing out a new console anytime soon within the next 2 years? Do you think Nintendo's console gives them a reason to maybe jump the gun that they weren't already thinking to bring out a console?
Yeah, there you go.
And give, of course, reasons why you think so.
All right, so that is your question of the week. To answer the question of the week, you can drop us a line at email@interactivedistractions.com. Mm-hmm. Drop us a voicemail. That's 706-760-4337.
It's like Lee, but it's not.
You've been waiting to say that for a month, haven't you?
Nah.
Nah. keep in mind that is a Google Voice number. You can actually download Google Voice, and you can drop us a line that way as well. It is interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That's G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff!
We also have Indus Pro, Indus Rody. And Aces is on board, too. I don't know what his Twitter is offhand. It's Aces High.
It's Aces High number
281.
281 or something, or 286.
Well, there's your official announcement.
Yeah, what I was going to say, it's our announcement later. We brought Aces High on. He's going to be our public relations guy.
Yay! Yeah. We stole him.
No, we didn't. He's still part of our Irrational Passions.
Yeah.
And we love those guys. We would never steal them away from them. So
no.
Fuck it, we stole them. You're not getting them back, IP. He's ours. Hell yeah.
Oh, shit.
But don't worry. Man. He's not going to put the Indus name in front of his Twitter, so there's not going to be a million Indus whatever out there.
I think he did that for a few minutes,
hours.
Just as a joke, and then changed it back.
Yeah, because there is, believe it or not, there is a method to our madness. We have brought on a few extra people, of course, with Chance and a couple other announcements we haven't made yet publicly.
Nate Dog.
But there is a reason we're doing this, and people will see why, I'm sure, very, very soon.
Yeah, it all has to do with content on our website, and that's
exactly.
Really the big thing. We're trying to really focus on that for the rest of the year and try and get more content up for you guys
to not take away
from the podcast. And another thing that's kind of new is that there's other people besides Jason that are trying to get video content out there too. So like Glenn has got some stuff that he's going to work on. I've actually got one. Like a short video review I'm trying to work on. We're all trying to jump in and do our part to put more content up on the website for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the deal. So we hope you guys enjoy that and start checking out the site more often. All right. Anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
I don't think so.
Good to be back.
Aces is in charge of the Facebook group. He's going to be taking care
of
that too. So Interactive Distractions on Facebook. And that should be getting updated a little bit more often now. So, definitely check that out.
Cool and the beans.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please, please, please tell a few friends about us. We would very much appreciate that. And if you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, leave us a review. We'd appreciate that.
5 stars.
Yeah, absolutely. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games. And we'll talk to you next week.